Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago, 18 floors above beautiful downtown Chicago. As I just said, that's where we are. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And it's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features, Fly Jams Friday, will be coming up. Get your choices ready and your requests going. DJ Shagru will spin the discs. On every Friday, we celebrate all things funky and R&B and soul. So get that all going. We'll do that a little later on. 312-981-7200. We got Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the date, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We'll play all those back. Nick D Show Spies, that's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever somebody mentions me or the show in any capacity, you become a spy. Jot it all down, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We'll play those this morning. And, of course, You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy is when we read real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on the biggest dummy. And you are our third vote to find out who the big dummy is of the week. So that's all coming up. We're going to be talking about, we got some sleep-related topics to talk about, and a couple of other, we're going to wrap up a couple of food-related topics that we're going to get to a little later on. Our phone number, as always, is 312-981-7200. And by the way, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to welcome Herb Weisbaum to the show. He is a good friend of the show. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out ConsumerMan.com for his website. And if you have any concerns or questions not getting scammed, any consumer-related questions at all, money-related, consumer-related questions, get in here now because Herb's going to be here live, and you can text or call us with any question that you have in that regard. So it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for any and all consumer-related questions. Herb's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. And that number is also for text and talk, and then later on use it to request your Fly Jams. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. The best way to stay connected, though, is on our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. facebook.com/Nick D Show. And also subscribe to our podcasts. Every second of our show is podcast, and you can subscribe. Go to iTunes or go to where you get your podcasts and subscribe. It's free. It will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So there you go. Let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
All right, man. How about yourself?
All right. What you got going, anything this weekend?
A couple birthday parties. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that.
Okay, cool. And we're here till 5 o'clock, and he's going to be DJ. Dan, you ready for DJ Shagru? We're back in a regular Fly Jams Friday, because last week was the spooky Fly Jams
Friday. Right,
right. So we have a regular Fly Jams Friday coming up.
Yeah, some good text requests.
All right, cool. And we'll have those all coming up. And again, we're going to welcome Herb Weisbaum to the show in just a couple of minutes. And any consumer question that you have or concern, Herb's here to help. 312-981-7200. Let's go to the newsroom, and it's Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Doing very well.
Good, good. And you got any plans for the weekend?
I am very excited to announce.
Yes.
Well, I will not be here Monday because Sunday night I have my son's football awards, the annual football awards. He had a breakout year this year.
Oh,
was kind of a stud, and he may get some recognition, so I wanted to be there. So I won't be here Monday, but I'm excited about that.
Good for him.
Yeah.
What position does he play?
He's a wide receiver, and boy, he scored a touchdown in just about every game.
Oh,
they
good
had.
For him.
Several games had multiple touchdowns. He did, and he also is now that he has been named the starter of the football teams as the punter for next year, which will be varsity. So that's amazing.
That's really great. Where does he go to school?
In McHenry.
All right. Well, good for him, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations for him. That's
Thanks.
Great. That's great. Is he a big kid?
He's not. He's a little wiry. He's tall.
Yeah.
He's tall and he's fast, which are
wide
right
receiver.
Now.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah, he may have to put on some muscle for as he gets, you know, next year. Some of those kids are pretty big, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I know. I see kids nowadays. I'm like, man, what's going on?
He's in the gym a lot. I mean, he's the preparation he's putting in is there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
His
brother's big. His brother's already a big kid.
Wow, man. All right. Well, good for you, man.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Enjoy
Thank
the
you.
Awards and enjoy your morning off. It's a good reason to take a morning off.
Yeah, thanks.
That's great, man. Okay. But you're here this morning. You're not going anywhere. Yeah, you're here.
Right.
You're here till 5 a.m., so there you go. And again, we're here until 5. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be coming up. And take your phone calls and your texts at 312-981-7200. And let's welcome our guest to the show. Always love having this guy on. He's a good friend of the show. He's great at what he does. He's Herb Weisbaum. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the consumer beat for NBC News. You can read all of his stories. You can subscribe to his newsletter at consumerman.com. Follow him on Facebook at ConsumerMan and on Twitter at TheConsumerMan. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Well, the last time we had John, you were here live in studio.
Absolutely. Just having finished up my Lou Malnati pizza with Dan.
Yes, exactly. So
I found out they deliver, and we're going to have a Lou Malnati pizza party out here sometime before the end of the year, and have them ship back to Seattle, a little Honkers beer, and have a great old time.
Yeah, well, you can have some Chicago stuff out there in Seattle.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and you brought me some stuff from Seattle the last time when you were here at last, and I want to tell you, I don't drink coffee, but I gave it to my parents that you brought.
Yep.
And my mom said it was the best coffee she's ever had.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And the salmon, fantastic. It was all great stuff, and I thank you for that. That was really a nice little taste of Seattle when you came in.
Thank you. And it was fun to be with you. It was nice to finally meet you and Dan and see the beautiful Allstate studios that you have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this facility.
See how I got the plug in there?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. Very good. Very good, man. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You're not the money man for nothing, my friend. Yeah.
Right.
Give everybody your background real quick, just so, you know, we always start it off this way.
Sure. I'm here in Seattle, and I've been covering the consumer beat for about, for 35 years or more. I work at a local station in Seattle, a radio station, and I also have been writing consumer columns for NBCNews.com for about 12 years now. I was on the CBS Morning Show for 10 years and Today Show for about 6 or 7 years, and my job is just to help you be smarter and avoid the scams and not let the bad guys rip you off. And that's what I try to do every time we talk and that sort of thing. Save you money, make you safer, and avoid the scams.
Right. And again, we have our phone lines are open. Herb is here live. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for any questions, talk, or text. Herb, tell everybody about consumerman.com. That's where they can read all the articles that we're going to be talking about.
Sure, it's just a website I run that makes it easy. You know, in this world of internet, everything disappears in 24 hours, so I just post all my stories on consumerman.com. You can find them there anytime, and if you go on there and want to, you can sign up for my free newsletter every week. I'll just tell you what I did so you don't have to go to the website. I don't sell, share, rent, borrow the list. The only person who sees it besides me is my dog, Sam, and he's not telling anybody about it. It's just a way to keep up on the things that are happening in the consumer world, and happy to do that service free for folks.
That's right, and the newsletter subscription is free, so go to consumerman.com. All right, Herb, we'll take a break, okay, and we'll come back and we'll start talking some of these stories that we want to get to and consumer concerns, and we'll take some questions from our listeners via text or talk at 312-981-7200. Hang on, Herb, okay?
You got it.
All right, there you go. Herb Weisbaum is with us. It's Consumer Time, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. It is Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummies, and the regular Friday features. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. If you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he's here to help. So call us up or text us right now at 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb back to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's talk about how to avoid common bank fees. Lots of banks, there's a piece here, lots of banks have, these fees that they apply to you, and there are tips and ways that you can avoid these fees sometimes.
Yeah, they make billions of dollars a year on fees, and some of these fees you have to pay, but a lot of these fees are totally avoidable if you just stop and think or do a few things, and you don't necessarily have to switch banks or credit unions in order to get rid of these fees. You just have to stop and think and figure out what you're paying and figure out ways you don't have to pay them. We'll go through the big three that I wrote about in my story, and those are the account maintenance fee, the monthly fee, the overdraft charges, and out-of-network ATM fees. So what do you want? Door number one. one, door number two, or door number three?
Why don't we start at the beginning? Let's start with the checking account fees.
Okay, checking account fees. Okay, so, you know, before the financial meltdown, free checking was basically the norm. And these days, there's often a string or two attached in order to get free checking, such as direct deposit or minimum balance or that sort of thing, but not always. And Bankrate.com just came out a couple of weeks ago with its recent survey they do every single year to look at checking accounts, and they found that 41% of non-interest checking accounts are free by default. So there's nothing you have to do in order to get the free checking. 41%. And that's up from 38% last year. So moving in the right direction. But then another 57% become free with direct deposit or minimum balance, an average to avoid the fee is about $600 or so, or some other condition. So basically, almost every checking account, non-interest checking account in America, I mean, it's 90-something, but you're do the math. You're a major radio personality.
Yeah, right.
But you got a producer. Anyway, it's 57 and 41, so that's like 98% of the checking accounts can be free. If you just, in some cases, free by themselves or free if you do something. So the goal really is, if you're paying a monthly fee for that checking account, find a way that you can get it for absolutely totally free. And if you don't find something that works at your bank, maybe you should look at either an online bank or a credit union, because Bankrate found in a separate survey that more than 80% of credit unions offer a free checking account with no strings attached. Now, it's a little bit different, Nick, with interest-bearing checking accounts. About 74% of those require a pretty hefty minimum balance in order to get the check that for free. That's like $6,300, something like that, or a direct deposit. But even an interest-bearing checking account can get gotten for free if you put your mind to it. Probably not the best way to go. Interest checking with that sort of minimum that you got to keep in there, $6,300, because they're paying almost nothing in interest right now. The average yield is just 0.08%, 0.8%. You'd be much better off just having a free checking account with no interest and taking any excess money you want and park it into a high yield savings account. I have one now through American Express. It's paying about 2% return, and some are paying 2.25 with really low balances, or a minimum deposit of $100 or $500 to start. So you shouldn't be really at this point in time parking your money in an interest-bearing checking account. In most cases, you're not going to get anything for it. If you want to park money in a, you know, very liquid checking account, do a high-yield checking account, either through your bank, or a lot of them are being offered online.
Okay. Well, that's a great way to do it. Wow, first of the interest, you got to have a minimum of like $6,300 for the interest.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And you know, the cool thing is, like with mine, you can move it back and forth. So in other words, I can keep the money my nest egg, my emergency fund. I can keep that money in the high interest checking account, and then if I need to pay a bill or do something, I just transfer it electronically to the checking account, and it's there, and boom, I can do what I need to do. In the meantime, it's sitting in the other account making money for me. So that's the smart way to go these days, as opposed to getting an interest bearing checking account at most banks, where they, like I said, they pay bupkis.
And now, are there, you know, there's so many different banks out there and so many different ways to choose these banks. These fees, are they common in every bank?
Well, the way most people will choose a bank, by the way, is unless they do something online, is what's near where they travel, either on the way home or the way to work, believe it or not. I mean, that's how most people pick their banks. But again, with, you know, 98% of them in some way, shape, or form offering a free checking account, you really should not be paying for a checking account. That's one fee that you can just knock off the list and not have to pay that. And, you know, it adds up to hundreds of dollars a year and thousands of dollars over the course of many years. It's just money you could be doing something else with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What about ATM fees?
Well, you know, ATMs are everywhere these days. You need some cash, you can find one. But if the ATM is out of network, then you can have a problem. And here's a quote from Greg McBride, the chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com, which I just love. He said, ATM withdrawals are a lot like health insurance. You've got to stay in network. If you go out of network, it's going to cost you. And that's the truth, because if you go out of network, you're basically, in most cases, going to pay two fees. You're going to pay a fee to that ATM owner, and then you're going to pay a fee to your bank for going out of network. And together, those fees can easily add up to about $5 or so, which really does take a big chunk out of your $50 withdrawal that you just had to have the cash and get some money. So here's what they found. The average surcharge assessed by the ATM owner is about $3.02 right now, and the average fee charged by your bank to use another institution's ATM averages about $1.66. And they broke it down. It actually varies by metro area, and I'm very surprised to learn, you'll be surprised here, that the highest is in Detroit, $5.28, the combined fees, those two fees together, $5.19 in Atlanta and $5.18 in Houston, and then Denver and Tampa. But the lowest end of the list, it was at 21 out of 25, Miami, Milwaukee, Chicago was 23 out of 25 on the low end. You guys were only $4.31, and then San Francisco and St. Louis. So I don't know what the deal is, but it's still, you don't want to pay that, but it's lower than it is in many parts of the country. So, and again, completely, absolutely, totally avoidable. You know, you need to just plan when and where you're going to make a cash withdrawal so you stay with the network. If you're not sure if there's an in-network ATM anywhere around, just take out your smartphone or go on a laptop, go to the bank's website, and find out where one is. It's in your network, probably one within a couple of blocks. And if you're really in a pinch and you can't find one and you just need to have cash, then just go to a store, make a purchase, and get cash back at the point of sale with your debit card if you have a debit card. And that's essentially a free withdrawal. And that's one of the only reasons that I can think of it why a debit card would be good. But a lot of people who have the debit cards do that, and then it's a free withdrawal, and you don't have to worry about an ATM fee. But again, that is a fee that is totally avoidable. You do not need to pay.
I can't remember the last time I went to an ATM. I mean, I live very close to a branch of my bank. But I can't remember the last time I went to an ATM and took money out. I do most of my paying either with a credit card or with my debit card at stores.
Sure.
And if I need cash, I do exactly what you just said. I'll you know, make a purchase, and then I'll get, if they, you know, because every time you make a purchase at a store, it does ask you if you want cash back. It's one of the prompts that comes up. And just, you know, that, boom, just take a little cash out that way. That's the only time whenever I get cash, that's how I do it. I haven't been to an ATM for the specific reason of taking money out. I deposit checks at an ATM every once in a while, but I haven't taken money out of an ATM. I can't remember the last time.
Good for you. That's good. And then you're not paying the fees.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay, hang on, okay, Herb?
And then we'll talk about overdrafts.
Exactly. Yep. We will talk about overdrafts, something I was very familiar with a long time ago. Hang on, Herb, okay?
Okay.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Consumer Man, and he writes and covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com, and his website is ConsumerMan.com. And we're giving you tips on how to avoid those bank fees. And if you have any specific questions or concerns, consumer-related, you don't want to be swindled, and you're really wondering what's happening and you need some help, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text, and we'll take your calls and questions after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's a Friday morning. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're going to talk about some sleep-related issues and some food-related stuff in addition to all the regular Friday features. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text and later on Fly Jam requests. My guest right now is Herb Weisbaum. He joins us once a month. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com, and you can check it out at ConsumerMan.com. And before the break, we were talking about some of the charges, you know, some of these common bank fees and charges that you can actually avoid. And we talked about it. Herb gave you some advice on checking account fees and on ATM fees, and now we want to handle another category of fees, and we welcome Herb back to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Yes, let's talk about overdraft fees.
Yes, let's do that.
Financial institutions make a lot of money when we make mistakes, and we all do from time to time. Here's a staggering figure. The average overdraft fee currently $33.23, according to Bankrate.com. That's the second highest on record. The most common overdraft fee is $35. Jeez. And they do vary by region. The highest region is Philadelphia, $35.30. Baltimore, $35.05. Houston and San Diego, and then Phoenix. And the lowest happens to be San Francisco, believe it or not, and then Los Angeles, which, again, two big cities I find bizarre that they would be so low, but they are. But anyway, it doesn't matter because it's still a lot of money, and avoiding it is really simple. I mean, as you know from past experience, you just have to make sure there's enough money in your account to cover anything you're doing, which includes a check, a debit card, or an ATM withdrawal, which sometimes is harder if two people have debit cards on the same account and they're not keeping track of things. But the one area that I really wanted to focus in on a second, because so many people are confused confused about this is the overdraft protection offered on debit cards. And it's not intuitive, and that's why it's so confusing to people, even though they give you written statements and you have to agree that you've got this information and understand it. So here's the deal. If you opt in to the overdraft protection that the bank is offering you for debit card transactions, what that is going to happen is that purchases where you're going to overdraw, where you don't have enough money in your account to cover them, are going to go through. And you're going to get hit with one or more overdraft charges. So that's why it's overdraft protection. You can't have an overdraft. You're just going to pay every time you would bounce a check because they're going to give you a loan to cover that overdraft. If you decline the debit card overdraft protection, which is what all the consumer advocates yours truly advises as well, then if you don't have enough money to cover the transaction at the point of at the checkout counter, what happens is your transaction is denied. It's declined. Yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing, but in my book, it's a lot better than paying $35. So that's it's sort of like reverse that, you know, if you want overdraft protection, you're never going to be embarrassed, but you're going to pay a fee if you screw up. And if you do it several times in a day, like you don't find out till the end of the day you've overdrawn because you made a little purchase here and a little purchase there and a little purchase there, you may get hit with a fee for $35 every single time that you make one of those overdrafts. The one simple way to handle this is link your checking account with your savings account, and that way if you do slip up, the transactions are going to be covered, and fees for these kind of transfers are typically much less, $10 or less, which sure beats paying $35 for an overdraft.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And one last point I want to make, and I didn't mean to interrupt you there, before I go, and it's really important is, you really have to check your statements and look for a problem. You really have to. Don't assume it's correct. I just went through my American Express account the other day, and there was a charge on there for $195. I have no idea what it was for. It's a company that I never dealt with, a place I never was. I called them up, boom, the money was taken off of my account. They're investigating. It's going to be taken care of. There can be little tiny charges. Sometimes bad guys sneak little tiny charges, $6 on your account or something, because odds are you're not going to spot them. So they're the big scams where they try to put a lot of money on your account that you're going to miss, and sometimes it's the little dollars that they hope you'll miss, especially maybe like in a corporate account where a $6 charge wouldn't stand out with you. If there's anything that doesn't make sense, a charge that doesn't belong, contact the financial institution, question them, find out what's going on, and if you slipped up maybe just once you had a late payment, just once you had an overdraft, the first time, you're not doing this all the time, call them up and say, I made a mistake, is there anything you can do? In many cases, they will waive the charge for you the first time. They'll give you a mulligan that first time, right. And it's certainly worth asking because they're certainly not going to give it to you if you don't ask. So be nice and give it a shot. Realize that I made a mistake, but maybe you could help me out this one time. I've been a long customer with your financial institution. Right. Sometimes they will do it.
Okay. All right. And by the way, you can read this the whole article, which is how to avoid all the common bank fees, again, at consumerman.com. It's up there right now at consumerman.com. Herb, we got a couple of texts here.
Sure.
All right, and 815 area code says, at the checkout, should I press debit or credit when it asks, and what is the difference if I'm using my bank card?
It doesn't really matter. I assume you're using by bank card, they mean their debit card.
Yeah.
Basically, this is just two different ways that the transaction is being processed by two different transaction networks. And this is incredibly confusing, and those of us in the consumer world have been screaming against the terminology that's being used here because we believe from the get-go it was confusing to people. Many people, even today, believe that by pushing credit, it turns your debit card into a credit card. You cannot turn your debit card into a credit card. It is always a debit card. You are always taking money out of your checking account. A credit card is where the bank is floating you a loan for 30 days until the bill comes. So it's just two different processing systems that are being used by the merchants, and it doesn't really matter. One you put a pin in, one you don't. There used to be a difference in how much the processing charges are. That's not really a big deal, and it's a merchant hassle anyway. But it does not really change anything for the consumer perspective, except that confusion that people think, oh, I'm protected because I'm using my credit card now. No, it's still your debit card with the risks, as we've talked many times before, that a debit card does not have the fraud protections by law guaranteed to a credit card.
Got it. Okay. And actually, what is it that if you do use the credit card option, that's when you don't, because you know it's a debit card when you have to put your PIN number in.
Mm-hmm.
That's so like it, but do you
Correct.
Still like if you choose, because I always if ever use my debit card, I don't even have an option. I just put my debit card in and it automatically you know, it asks for my PIN number.
Right.
Yeah.
When you do that, the transaction is completed in real time, and that's why your PIN number is being put in. If you don't, if you hit the credit option, it's an offline transaction. It's like when the merchant processes at the end of the evening or something like that. So, again, it really doesn't matter to you, but my concern is that people think they've turned their debit card into a credit card, which they certainly have not done.
Can't do that. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Can't do that. It's a debit card.
It's a debit card. That's right. 773 area code says, you mentioned credit unions a few minutes ago, and I've always wondered about getting one instead of a bank. What are the benefits?
Sure. The first benefit is that a credit union is owned by the members of the credit union, and a lot of people like the fact that they're an owner and that the credit unions are there to make their members happy, as opposed to a bank, which is just there to make money, which is not that a credit union isn't, but they really do seem, and all the focus group studies and all the marketing reports that I've seen, credit unions tend to score higher in customer service and customer satisfaction. Because of that, they tend to have lower fees. It's a much better place to get a loan. They tend to offer better interest rates on that sort of thing. In many cases, they'll be much more willing to work with you if you don't have the best credit in the world. And those are some of the major benefits of a credit union. The downsides are, for some people, they don't have as many locations in many cases, unless it's a very big credit union, as the banks do. But, you know, like you were saying, you do most of your transactions online, and there's no real problem. And any significant credit union these days has deals. In the old days, you couldn't find an ATM with your credit union, so you'd always be paying a fee. And these days, they have reciprocal deals all across the country. You just have to make sure you're using the right ATM, but they will take care of that. You can use thousands and thousands of ATMs across the country. So there's no reason to do it. But it's a great place. Like, if you think you're going to get a home loan or get a car loan or something like that, credit union is a pretty good place to shop and at least comparison shop when you're looking for borrowing money.
And they've really come a long way. A friend of mine was using a credit union some years back, and like you said, it was not the most convenient thing in the world, but they've really improved the services.
Oh yeah, we have BECU out here, which is Boeing Employees Credit Union, and I'm sure they have them in Chicago too. Now Boeing's there, and you know, they start out little. They're huge now. They're all across the area. They plow a lot of money back into the community. They have, you know, auto sales where they let people sign up right at the car dealership and get the decent auto rates. They've come a long, long way. Credit unions are a big competitor now with traditional banking.
Yeah, it's really it's interesting to see, because, you know, I didn't have a, you know, general interest in it, except my friend kind of swore by using a credit union, and I always thought he was a little bit crazy. But then, as these things as you said, the services have vastly improved and have become major. So.
Yeah, and as I said, and most customer service satisfaction surveys that are taking place, credit unions score much higher than banks.
Yeah, yep.
Much, much higher.
Nomi says, I keep getting phone calls to my mobile phone that are either sales or phishing calls. How do I stop them? I've already added my number to the do not call list.
Well, if they're illegal calls, if they're robocalls and phishing calls, or those kind of things, and they're people who are already breaking the law and they don't care about the do not call list, very good to be on, because that's basically solved the problem of legitimate telemarketers calling you if you don't want to be called. Now we're trying to deal with the illegitimate ones, the criminals who are trying to call and do all kinds of things. There are a number of various apps that you can put on your phone. One is called Nomo Robo, NOMORobo. It was one of the original killers of these kind of calls. The guy, Aaron Foss, who created it, he won the Federal Trade Commission's $50,000 Robo Killer Contest, or Robo Challenge, many, many years ago. And he started with landline service, and it's now available for cell phones. That's one. There's one called Hiya, and one called Truecaller. Both of those are free. So those are just three things, and they'll help. There are other ones available as well for different Android or Apple devices, but they will either flag the call, stop the call, alert you to the call, et cetera, et cetera. It's not anything we can do to stop everything now. Many people don't answer the phone if they're not familiar with the number. Let it go to voicemail and then deal with it then. The key is, of course, if it is a robocall or a spam call, never return the call and never push it, like, and push 2 to be on our do not call list. These are con artists. They don't have a do not call list. If you were to respond in any way, return the call, or push the 2. It tells their computer this is a working telephone line. Let's send them more spam calls. So that's something you never, ever want to do.
Right.
They're working on technology. I blame the phone systems and the phone companies, the landline phone companies, for not wanting to do more about this. We're slowly getting to the point where some new breakthrough technology may hit the market in the next year or so. It is long overdue and long awaited. But right now, the bad guys are winning, unfortunately. And 30 to 40% of all robocalls are now considered to be scam calls, and they lead you down a path, and they're trying to steal your ID, your money, or both.
Yeah. I never answer any calls that if I don't recognize the number. I never do.
I mean, the key is go to the voicemail, maybe listen, because who knows, it could be like the consumer guy Herb calling you to interview you for one of his stories.
Right.
But, don't like it, totally ignore them. But, yeah, if you don't know in real time, a lot of people just don't answer anymore. And,
yeah.
And the other one is, I'm getting all these now, and these are called the neighborhood spoofing. So what they do is, like, they take the first 6 digits of your phone number. So in my area code, it's 206, and then 817, and then they put up 4 numbers that are very close to mine, and that's the idea that, hey, it must be somebody I know, because it's like almost... And that's one of the ways they're getting you to pick up the phone. Another way they're doing it,
I'm sorry, Herb. That just happened to me. That just happened to me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I got 2 phone calls, and I didn't recognize the number, but it had the same prefix. And it was very similar, and they were 2 in a row within like 3 minutes, and I didn't answer either of them. I didn't answer either of them,
right.
And they didn't leave. They didn't leave a voicemail.
Of course not. Yep. And the other thing they do, which is really tricky, is that sometimes have the caller ID show up as your phone number, which you're going, how could I be calling myself?
I have to
add, it's all these tricks, these buttons they push to get us to do what they want us to do, and you got to be smart like you and just not do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Herb, hang on. Okay.
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. We've got some more consumer stories to talk about, and we can squeeze in some of your phone calls or text questions and concerns. 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. Right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. And it's Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up and more. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Our guest right now is our good friend Herb Weisbaum, who is an award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out his website and his newsletter at consumerman.com. If you have questions or concerns, consumer-related, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb back to the show. Hi, Herb.
Hey, Nick, Dan is DJ Dan Chagrou's picking some good tunes tonight.
Well, it gets real funky later on in the show.
It sounded like a Leslie organ speaker there. It was really nice.
Wow, all right.
I used to book bands when I was a teenager, so, you know.
Gotcha. Well, you've been involved in music for a long time. We talked about that before.
Long time. Yeah. So.
All right. So you actually have a story here about vaping devices. And it's an interesting angle to take on this. Why safer vaping devices that don't explode are not going to be available in the U.S. Now, if people are going to vape, which I don't encourage that you do that, there are ways to, because we've known that there have been explosions and fires caused by these devices. Now, why wouldn't they be allowed in the U.S.?
Well, yes, we've all seen the video of these devices exploding in people's pockets and in their faces, and there's actually now at least one death that is being attributed to a vaping device exploding and killing a guy in Florida when the shrapnel went into his head. So the explosions can be very, very dangerous. So Underwriters Laboratory, UL, you're familiar with them. They put the logo and they test it and certify various everything from smoke detectors to electronics, you name it. They have come up with a certification process for vaping devices, and because they realize there's the problem and they want to do something about it. And it's a fairly complicated test that they really put these products through, and they have to have certain things on them or not on them in order to to be certified by Underwriters Laboratories. For instance, the battery cannot be removed from the device because a lot of the problems are caused when people take those very powerful lithium-ion batteries and stick them in their pocket, and then it hits some change, and then kapow, and we've seen what happens. So that's one thing. They also cannot be easily modified because a lot of people who tinker around like to modify with a heating device and that sort of thing, the heating element, and change that thing around. So that can't be involved as well. They also have to have a certain ventilation so that if the worst happens, the hot gases will go away from your face, and also they have to have an automatic shutoff and some other regulatory things, regulators for the power, so that these things are less likely to have a problem. The first product was actually certified by UL a short time ago, and it's a company called Joytech, a really big player in the e-cigarette market. They're based in Southern California, and they have a new vaping device called the Ego AIO, and it is the UL-certified device, and they can't sell it in the United States because Congress passed a law and the FDA has regulations that says basically that any new device that is on the market since August 2016 cannot be on the market without pre-market approval from the FDA. These products have already been on the market, some of them, and what they've simply done is added safety protocols in order to keep the battery from exploding, and yet the position of the FDA is these are new devices and you have to go through all this protocol in order to put them on the market. The problem is the FDA has not laid out yet all the details as to what the protocol is, what you have to do to pass the test. So these companies are saying we're caught in a bind. We have all this new technology. These safer e-cigarettes are being sold in other countries. This one, the Ego AIO, is going to be sold in Canada. It's going to hit the market in Canada. It's silly that we can't put these safer devices on the market, and how in the world could an automatic shutoff or a battery power regulator be something that the FDA has to worry about, you know, like with nicotine stuff? And their answer is, well, you change the product, it could change how the nicotine is processed by the device and how it affects the body. The industry thinks that's foolish. The FDA is sticking with its opinion. So what it basically means for now is that these new safety designs that are going to show up in other parts of the world are not going to show up in this part of the world. I think that's sad. I just think, you know, we've seen the horrendous number of explosions and the problems that have taken place. It would be nice, you know, that UL to have these products that want to be UL certified so people could look for them on the market, but it does not look like that's going to happen for some time.
Wow. Okay.
And if you want to read more about it, it's a very long and detailed
story.
And a lot of complexity, but it's on the website as well. But that's basically the bottom line, that ain't going to happen here, and the manufacturers say they want to do it, and they blame government red tape.
Got it. Okay. Here's a caller, and it's Donna. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Nick. The question that I have is, when I go to the grocery store and ask for cash back, is there a difference between my debit card or using my credit card? And if there is a difference, what's the hassles or problems with getting hacked? If I'm hacked at a grocery store, what are my protections with a debit card or my protections with a credit card?
Okay, that's a complicated question, but let me try to answer it for you. First of all, I'm not sure you can get cash back with your credit card at the supermarket. You get cash back at and if you do get a cash back on a credit card, when you take money out of with a credit card, like at an ATM, that's a loan, and you're paying interest on that right away. I've never tried to get cash back on a credit card at a supermarket, so maybe that's something you can do. And if you can, I assume they just charge it to your as a charge. Have you ever actually done that on a credit card? So that's seen as an instant loan, just like you took it out from an ATM machine. That's not the way to get cash. If you want to get cash, you take it with a debit card. You got to have money in your checking account in order to cover it, and that's a free transaction. So you never want to take it out with your credit card. You want to take it out with your debit card, as long as you have money to cover it, and they're not going to get a bounced debit transaction charge from your bank. Does that make sense?
It does. But the hassle that I've had is I've gotten hacked, and when I called the bank to let them know, when I got hacked in my debit card, it took almost 3 months for that money to get put back into my account, whereas with my credit card, it took 3 days.
Well, that's the problem, and Nick and I have talked about that many times before. You don't have the same protections with a debit card as you do with a credit card, which is why I don't like debit cards. So if you're looking to get money, then go to an ATM and take money out of a cash machine that's your money out of a checking account, and then you don't have to pay. The most you'd pay is, if you're using your bank, nothing. So that's the way to get cash if you need it. Use your card at an ATM machine. Don't go taking it on your credit card at the supermarket. You're going to pay a huge amount of interest on that.
Right. Hey, Herb, can you? Is it Donna? Thanks for the call. Herb, can you stick around for a minute?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
After the news?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay, because, you know, this
it's overtime, though, you know.
All right.
Just kidding.
Okay. All right, you can just charge it to my debit card, okay, Herb?
You got it.
Because here's the deal. This is our last visit before Black Friday, and I want to get some, holiday shopping tips, okay?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Right,
cool. Hang on a second. Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he's going to stick around for a little bit after the news because Black Friday is coming up, and we're not going to have another visit with Herb until after that. So we want to get some tips and some shopping tips, and we have a couple of texts coming in as well. All right, news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday, and that means all the regular Friday features coming up later on. Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy. We're also going to – we have a few sleep topics that we want to get to as well. But we were asked our friend Herb Weisbaum to stick around for a little bit here, and we're glad that he's going to do so. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can read all of his stories. Subscribe to his free newsletter at consumerman.com. And we wanted Herb to stick around for a little bit longer here because this is going to be our last visit before the holidays kick in, and particularly Black Friday when everybody goes out and wants to be a holiday shopper. So we wanted to get some advice from Herb on that. Herb, welcome back, and thanks for sticking around.
Thanks. Well, I got to give you all my sizes and everything so you know what to get.
Right. So before that, we did get a couple of quick texts in. Let me get those in before we jump into the holiday shopping.
Oh, sure. Okay.
219 area code says, why do banks charge $5 for my statement? It should be free.
You're right. They do it because they want to get you to go to the paperless statements. It doesn't cost them any money. So you have to decide whether you want to pay the $5 and get the paper or go paperless. For some things, I've gone paperless. For some things, I just want to have the paper statement in front of me because it reminds me that something's happening and it's too easy to lose an email. So it's the decision you have to make, or find out if there's another bank around that will give you your statements for free and don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Okay. I've done the paperless. I've opted for paperless on a lot of stuff. So
I have some too, but for certain things, like my big Visa account, my big American Express account, I want the paper there in front of me, and that's just the way I feel right now. And for them, I don't have to pay anything, so that doesn't change my decision.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And 847 area code says, when I pick up medicine and write a check, it shows up as a debit. I don't have a debit card. What should I do?
I assume the person is talking about the statement that they get from the bank. There's two columns. There's credit and debit.
Yeah.
And the credit is like when you make a deposit, and the debit is when you take money out of your account. So it's not a debit card. It's debiting your account. So those are just accounting terms.
Yeah, it's just a terminology. It's still,
correct.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with your account. That's what they say when you're taking money out. So
correct. It's just accounting terms. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got holiday shopping starting. I can't believe it's already November.
The stores have all the stuff, and I was in Costco the other day. The trees are up, the lights, everything's all there.
I live basically across the street from a Walgreens, Herb, and
okay.
I went in there to pick up some vitamins the other day, and they have already moved this was like a couple of days before Halloween, and all the Halloween candy had been moved to one half of the side. And they were putting up the Christmas stuff as I was walking in. So they were getting rid of the Halloween stuff and putting the Christmas stuff up, and it wasn't even Halloween yet.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
It's crazy. It gets every year. It gets earlier and earlier and earlier. And the thing that makes me most upset is that, you know, Thanksgiving, it turns into a speed bump. It's not even, you know what I mean? It's not even, I love Thanksgiving. You spend time with friends and family, you eat a bunch of stuff, and you hang out, and you watch football, and that's, to me, is great. But now, people, you know, many people around the country shovel the food down their throat because they got to get in line at the Costco or they got to get in line at the Best Buy. And I just think that's crazy. I think we should save.
I agree with you. And you know what? If you have to do some shopping, have a lovely occasion with your family, and then go in line afterwards in the early evening hours. You can do it that way as well. Most bargains are online as well, and it's just, it's crazy. And I applaud stores such as REI and several other ones that are closing on Thanksgiving to give their employees a day off and
Absolutely.
Give us a break.
I totally agree with that. It makes me crazy. Yeah. But, you know, obviously it's coming up, the shopping season, not just Black Friday, but the Christmas shopping season is happening. Are there just some tips for being better and safer as a holiday shopper?
Sure, let me just a few things to keep in mind. First of all, if you're looking to buy a TV, you're going to probably find your best deal on Thanksgiving or Black Friday. Not the best deal of the year. The best deals actually come just before the Super Bowl when they're trying to get rid of all the old models. But if you're looking for a TV at this time of year, those 2 days are the best time to buy. Interesting article in USA Today today based on a report from Adobe Analytics, and they're basically saying that they're afraid that with online shopping, a lot of the things that people really want will be gone by Black Friday if you shop online, because some of them are being offered starting on Thanksgiving. So if there's something you really have to have, a specific laptop, a specific computer, a specific TV, they're suggesting you might want to buy it on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, as opposed to Black Friday. Again, the hype never stops, and it's like you can go crazy, but that's just the advice they're giving. If you're looking for toys, Cyber Monday tends to be a little bit better than Black Friday, and then as you get closer, about 2 weeks out from Christmas is usually the best time in most cases to buy toys. And one tip, and it gets us back to the debit cards again. If you are going to shop online to buy anything, my strong advice, because of the fraud concerns and just so many problems with online, don't use a debit card to make an online or a telephone purchase. Use a credit card. You may think you know who you're dealing with. It may be a bogus site. It may be something wrong. So, you know, if you have a debit card and you're going to use it, you know, the supermarket or whatever, that's one thing. But please, I strongly suggest you don't use it when you online shop or when you shop by phone, catalog shopping. If anything goes wrong, it could be a major hassle with a credit card. You call up the credit card company and you say, I had a problem. They take it off your charge and deal with it. So that's just my last piece of advice. And finally, don't make yourself crazy. You know, if you're going to go out on Black Friday, have a plan. Make sure you know the store's layouts. Make sure you know what they have. Remember that sometimes they're limited quantities, and if you're not the first person in line, there's only three of those TVs or four of those washing machines or whatever per store. Do you really want to go through all the hassle for that? Is it really, really worth it? And last but not least, for all the members of the tribe listening, Hanukkah starts December the 2nd, so remember, it's very early this year.
Okay.
But I've got to get that in. You
of
know,
course
important.
You do. Yes, of course. I totally understand. Let me ask you this, Herb. You know, as the holidays approach and mm-hmm. you know, they get into the whole holiday shopping thing, do the bad guys gear up for this time of year? Are there more scams?
Oh, sure.
Do they build up because of this?
Sure. What they'll be, you'll see all kinds of things, such as you'll see bogus ads showing up in social media. That's not the way you've got to be very careful. That's not the way you shop. So they're going to try to entice you to a fake website. There will be people sending out fake coupons via text and that sort of thing. There will be some copycat websites that if you put in the name of the store and just get one letter off or whatever, you may wind up on a copycat website where they're selling that bogus stuff and counterfeit stuff. So yes, you just have to be a little bit on guard and a little bit more alert at this time of year.
And also, we were a little bit earlier, I do want to mention this, a little bit earlier we had a call about, we had a text about robocalls, and, mm-hmm. you know, because there's an election on Tuesday, I'm sure that a lot of people have been inundated with them if they're not on the do not call list.
Well, robocalls for political campaigns are not illegal and are allowed, even if you're on the do not call list, because they're not trying to sell you anything.
Oh, right.
The do not call list is a telemarketing list, so bona fide surveys, religious calls, or political calls or anything else is not telemarketing, not selling you things. They're allowed to do that without violating if you're on the do not call list. So.
Well, that's aggravating.
It is, but it's America, you know?
So, yeah.
You know, as they say in Chicago, vote early and vote often. You know? So.
Oh, I plan on voting at least four more times. So. That's just the way it is here.
Right. You know, this is the last time we'll talk before Thanksgiving, so you and Dan have a great, and all your listeners have a really, really good one, and I'll look forward to talking to you later in the month.
Absolutely. Before you go, Herb, you recently went to Europe. Tell me a little bit about that before we cut you loose.
Oh, sure. We did a cruise down the Rhine, a longboat cruise down the Rhine, which is fabulous. So 2 weeks ago, the weather was 75 degrees, basically, and sunny every day, which was great for us and horrible for them because they're having a drought over there.
Oh.
And the Rhine and the Danube are so low that the boats, these longboats, which are really, they don't go very deep, can't even navigate all the river. They had to take people, they have to take you off and put you on a bus and then take you downriver and put you back on another boat again.
Wow.
The barges, which most of their oil moves up and down on barges, can't be full because they'll hit the bottom of the rivers. So they're sailing the barges up and down, not with full loads right now. So it's a very serious situation they have there, and there was no rain in the forecast. So they're just like they'd kill for rain, but there's nothing happening right now. So they're having a very, very serious problem. But the people were wonderful. The food was great. They really have transportation down between the trams and the trains and the subways and everybody riding a bike. They've really got transportation down in these European countries. But it was a good visit.
Very, very good. Okay, Herb, thanks for sharing that with us, and to you and your family, have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you. Talk to you real soon.
Okay, Herb, take care. There's our buddy, okay. Herb Weisbaum, everybody, and you can check him out at consumerman.com. You can follow him on Facebook at consumerman and on Twitter at theconsumerman, and he covers the consumer beat for nbcnews.com and joins us once a month, and we'll have him back on in December. But we just wanted to keep him around just a little while, and we thank him for sticking around for some tips on holiday shopping, which is going to kick off in just a couple of weeks. So, all right. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get some sleep-related stories to talk about here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, you big dummy. All coming up here on Friday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So I have here a piece on how to fall asleep in 120 seconds. Now, Dan, you can fall asleep pretty quick, right?
Yes, these days I can.
Yeah. And I know it's amazing to me how many people can do that. And I know, like, the king of that, of course, is Orion. Orion can power nap, like, he can sleep for 10 minutes, he can close his eyes, fall asleep in 5 seconds, sleep for 15 minutes, and then feel good. Like, sometimes, as we've had, you know, people post and talk about before, they've seen Orion sleeping in the, when we were in the Trib building, maybe he'd be sleeping in the showcase studio in between reports. Get a little sleep, wake up, boom. I've never, ever been, maybe when I was a kid, I was able to fall asleep quickly, but I've never been able to fall asleep quickly. It takes me, and this is not an exaggeration, it takes me at least an hour and a half to fall asleep, at least. My brain is always working. I'm thinking about stuff that I have to do or stuff that I did or just stuff running around in my head. My head just, you know, my brain just does not shut down. And it makes me crazy. I toss and I turn and I'll get some water and, you know, whatever it is. But it just takes me I do not fall asleep easily. And I'm also a relatively light sleeper. So stuff wakes me up. So I'm not real good at sleep. I've never really been good at sleep. And, you know, but have you always been like that, or was it the switch to this?
No, it was the kids.
It's the kids, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from what I had read previously or heard from guests who we've had on talking about sleep experts, the quote-unquote normal amount of time is about 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm.
That should be enough time to kind of detach, kind of, like you said, kind of think for a little bit, but
yeah.
Then also to kind of put your thoughts to bed.
Exactly.
And allow yourself to go to bed. And then, you know, it varies on my state of life at the moment. You know, when I had a little bit more free time, it would be definitely longer than 20 minutes. Now with the kids, it's just a few minutes just because, you know.
You're exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're really tired. Now, when you have kids, that adjustment, is there a sense of, you know, like if you're going to go to bed, do you also feel a little anxious because you think at any moment, you know, one of your kids could wake up and you're going to need to do?
I mean, that because of our hours, not so much for me, but I know that's a big problem for Eileen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's one of those things where just, and you never know. I mean, the setup that we have is that if the girls tend to wake up before I leave to pick you up at 10:45 or 11, I'll go grab them. But the monitor, you know, you still hear them. You know, yeah. So even if Eileen tries to go to bed early, let's say 8 o'clock,
right,
knowing that it might be a rough night and one of them might be up at 2 a.m., she still hears them at night when I'm going to get them. So, right. So that's where it kind of hurts her a little bit more. I'm sure I would be that way if I was at home with them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I know there have been nights when you would text me and say, I'm running late because, you know, the kids are they're having a little bit of a rough night and you want to help Eileen out, you know, because she's got to get up. What time does she get up?
Well, unfortunately, these days, Olivia doesn't sleep past 5:15, so she's usually up by 5.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Because of that. Okay. Now, is that now, that's her pattern now?
Yeah.
We're
trying very hard to break. I mean, it was, she got 4 teeth at one time, so that was a big reason for it, but... those have come through, so we're hoping things will calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's
4 teeth at once?
4 teeth at once. So.
Oh man, was she?
Yeah, so it was a rough month as that was proceeding. So.
Wow. All right, is she feeling a little better now?
Yeah, it's starting to come around a little
bit. Okay. So. Well, she was good enough to go out and get candy the other.
Yes. She's ruining those 4 teeth already.
Well, they're going to fall out anyway,
right,
so don't worry about it.
Who cares?
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting, you know, how that affects you. Now, I've been a night owl all of my adult life, basically. I've been a night owl. And I think that might have something to do with it, you know, and I think my sleep pattern, you know, like I've always, it's always as far back as I can remember, it's always taken me a very, very long time to fall asleep. Staying asleep, is another issue that I've encountered as I've gotten older. I don't sleep more than 3 hours in a row. You know what I mean? For someone who can fall asleep in 10 minutes and wake up 8 hours later, I am so envious of that. You know what I mean? But the weird thing is, though, that I can operate on less sleep. You know, I know a lot of people are like, man, I need at least 8 solid hours of sleep or else I'm a zombie. I can do 3 hours, 2 hours here and then be okay. I would like to sleep more. It's not that I wouldn't like it. It's just that's the way I am now. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that when I was working at Juul, I started working the overnight shifts at around like 17, 18 years old. And I would work from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it wouldn't be every night, though. It would be sort of inconsistent. And then I'd have like over the weekend, I would have like a day shift. So I think that's where it all...
I agree. Like, I mean, when I talk to other people who do shift work, those are the people I feel bad for who are like, oh, I've got 2 weeks days, 2 weeks nights. I'm like, you know, with mine, like, it's tough, but I know I've got a routine at least.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That routine is off sometimes, but it's still, like, within hours, not a half a day.
You know, it was like I went to go see Suspiria Monday night before our Tuesday morning show. And when I do my Tuesday, my film clubs, that's significant nap time usually for me. And then sometimes I'll sacrifice that if there's like a sporting event that I want to watch or anything like that. And that's always, but I've got this routine, you know what I mean? And it still takes me nine hours to fall asleep. But, you know, I'll usually go to bed right around, as I've mentioned before, my bedtime is usually right around Price is Right. You know, when Price is Right is on, I'll watch a little bit of it. I want to see the guy fall off the mountain if I can, you know, the yodeler. And then I go to bed, but I won't fall asleep till like 11:30, you know, something around that time. And then I'll wake up again at like 3 and I'll be up for a little bit. I'll go back to sleep. So that's just the thing. Now I've got a few articles here about sleep. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Sleeping patterns for you guys. If you want to jump in, and if you're up now, obviously you have a different kind of sleep pattern than normal people because people who work a 9-to-5 job they're asleep right now. But, how quickly can you fall asleep? If you're like me, what do you do to try and fall asleep? Because my brain is constantly running. It takes me forever to fall asleep. So, how is your sleeping and all that cool stuff? And, we have a little article here on how to fall asleep in 120 seconds. And I can't wait to find out how to do that. See if, and then maybe I can test it out when I get home in the morning. I don't know. We'll see. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking sleep stories. We got a few more of those and we want to hear from you. How do you sleep? 312-981-7200. And you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and follow us on Facebook. And we'll take your texts and your calls and talk more sleep right after we go to the news, which is after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We're talking about sleep right now. We got a few sleep-related stories to talk about, and I was just sharing the fact that it takes me a long, long time to fall asleep every day or night. It's just the way it is, and I never sleep through the night soundly. I'm up, you know, after like 3 hours, and usually so. It takes a long time, and I'm wondering about you guys. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hey, before we jump into that, I want to mention that Movember has begun, and I'm participating in it. And so what Movember is, it's a great organization that is concerned about men's health, both physically and mentally. And it's been around since 2003. And what happens is, if guys want to participate, they shave their faces clean on November 1st and then grow a mustache, and only a mustache. That's why it's called Movember. And only a mustache throughout the month of November. Track your mustache on your MoBro page. And then that helps raise money. People will donate money, and it goes to all these great charities and places that care about, you know, men's health. And the Movember Foundation is a really great organization, and I always have fun doing it. I shave myself clean. I got a little bit going. I'm growing my mustache in, and I maintain progress of my mustache every day on my Movember MoBro page, on my MoSpace page. And if you'd like to see the progress, I take a picture daily. I shave every morning, and then I take a picture as the month goes along. And then you can donate, and it all goes to a great cause. And my target for donation this year is $1,000. And I just want to say thank you, because it is, you know, 2:36 in the morning on November 2nd. And, Dan, I've got $225 already.
That's great.
So I want to thank everybody for donating. And another cool thing is, if you use MasterCard to donate, I want to make sure that people know this. If you use MasterCard to donate, they will match you dollar for dollar. So someone donated $25 to my page, and that turned into 50. Thanks to MasterCard. So if you have a MasterCard and you want to use that, you can donate even more money. You know, I want to thank everybody who's donated already. And if you want to donate, I want to raise a lot of money, and I want to go past $1,000. If I can go past $1,000, that'd be fantastic. And you can also keep track of my stupid face as I grow my Fu Manchu mustache as the month goes on. If you go to Movember.com and type in my name in the search, Nick DiGilio, it'll pop up. There's also a mobro.co/WGN Nick D. That'll take you to the space. And mobro.co/WGN Nick D. I'd love to raise more than $1,000. And if I'm going at the rate that I'm going, I'm going to extend my target and go even further. So the most money that I can possibly raise in this entire month for this organization would be awesome. And if you want to help me out as I grow my stupid mustache, and you can see the progress of it on my MoSpace page, check it out. Again, go to either Movember.com and type in my name. It'll take you to my page, and you can donate there. And donate as much as you want or as little as you want. Every little bit helps, and every little bit and every single dime goes to these organizations that Movember is involved in, for men's health. It's an important thing. So either go to mobro.co/WGN Nick D or search my name in Movember.com and give whatever you can. And if you use a MasterCard, again, you'll be doubling up your donation. And anybody who is interested and wants to follow along, Movember.com is the website. It's a really important organization that does really great stuff. And I'm happy to keep track of my stupid mustache that I'll be growing throughout the month. And whatever you donate is appreciated. So anyway, Movember.com, search my name, and you can get more information about the organization. As well as looking, I've got one picture up because it's only been one day, and then you can see it slowly. You know, and Dan, and I think that what we've had done in the past is, I can't remember, someone actually put all the pictures together.
We do a gallery, so it's so we usually start at a weekend. So
because I'll have a little bit more going on,
right,
on my
then
face.
It becomes a slideshow,
right? It's like a slideshow where you can see the progress, the mustache actually grow on my face right in front of you, which is a terrifying thing. But anyway, give as much as you can or as little as you can. Movember.com. It's a really, I'm really happy to be doing this for, I can't remember how many years I've been doing it. But anyway, check out my page. And if you can, you know, throw some money our way. Now, it's not for me, obviously. It's for a really good cause. So, all right, I just wanted to throw that in there. Okay, we're talking about sleeping. We've already got a bunch of texts in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And 815 area code says, I throw papers for the Tribune. I sleep 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then I sleep 10 p.m. till midnight. I'm exhausted all the time after 15 years. Wow. 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and then 10 p.m. till midnight. That's 5 hours split up. So I can understand why this person is tired. Let's see. 630 area code says, Nick, do you think you not good at sleeping had something to do with you eventually becoming a nighttime radio host? And I'm the same way. It varies, but sometimes no sleep longer than 30 or 40 minutes at a time, and it might go for weeks. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, being, you know, having worked late nights here, even before I got the full-time gig, I worked on weekends late. I did like the overnights on the weekends, or at least, you know, some shows till 2 a.m. That's still late. But it started before this. It started before I started working at GN because, you know, I was a night owl. When I wasn't working, I would stay up late. When I started working at Jewel, I worked on the night shift there, and I did that for, I mean, I did that off and on for 11 years. Switching back and forth between like a normal schedule and an overnight schedule. Then I bartended for a long time, which means I wouldn't get home sometimes till 4 or 5 in the morning. So that was before I started working here in the late shift. So that this pattern of me not being able to sleep or having weird sleeping, you know, didn't start here. It started before that. I just happened to fit into the, you know, when they were like, hey, you want to do overnights? I'm like, sure, what the hell? I'm awake. I can't sleep. I may as well yap. 301 area code says, I have a horrible sleeping pattern. It's only gotten worse since my recent surgery. On the other hand, I get to listen to WGN a lot. Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear about your surgery, and thank you for listening. I've been doing my current job delivering bread for the past 20 years and used to have restless sleep until I was diagnosed with sleep apnea about 10 years back. And after I got my CPAP machine, I sleep like a baby. All right. So is anybody interested in trying to fall asleep in 120 seconds? Well, here's the background on this whole thing and on the advice that's given. If you're among the 35% of adults who don't get enough sleep, meaning you get less than 7 hours per night, the amount many professionals deem to be clinically poor, it may be because you're having trouble getting to sleep in the first place. Yes, that seems to be the issue for me. Perhaps you've tried using a bag of rice or even changing your diet to help yourself sleep better. If those haven't worked, you may want to try out a 2-minute technique apparently developed by the U.S. Navy to help fighter pilots get enough rest before missions. What do they mean using a bag of rice? Sleeping on a bag of rice? Like on your head? As a pillow?
I'll check it out. I had heard something similar about soap, that if you put soap at, you know, somewhere in the bed, that it helps you sleep.
I know that they've got these lavender things or whatever you can spray that are supposed to be relaxing. You know, that this, whatever it is, this sort of lavender kind of scent relaxes you more and you can fall asleep, you know, easier. And I've seen them at hotels. They've had them at hotels I've stayed. Here's your complimentary bottle of relax spray or whatever it's called. And you're supposed to like spray it on the bed or on the pillow, and it's supposed to help you fall asleep or makes you relax more.
All right. Here's the bag of rice thing.
Yeah.
Make sure the bag of rice is large enough to cover your torso. Lie in your bed on your back and get comfortable. Take a few breaths and watch how your belly expands and falls as you breathe in and breathe out. After a few moments, take the bag of rice and place it on your torso just below your ribcage. The weight of the rice bag will cause your exhalation to become a bit labored. Resist this by slowing your exhales to match your inhales. For a few minutes, take notice of the bag of rice moving as you breathe in and breathe out. Once you become tired, remove the rice bag and breathe normally. You'll probably notice that deep breaths take less effort and you'll feel more relaxed.
Never heard that before, ever. Sounds weird. Just keep a bag of rice next to your bed? Interesting. That's interesting. I've never heard that before. I've never tried it. According to a Medium post by Sharon Ackmanth, a two-minute technique first appeared in print in 1981 in a book called Relax and Win, Championship Performance in Whatever You Do by Lloyd Bud Winter. That's a good name. Lloyd Bud Winter. How you doing? I'm Lloyd Bud Winter, and I can teach you to sleep. Winter penned the self-help book to aid athletes dealing with injuries and tension before competitions, but The Independent also reports that many members of the U.S. Army use the technique to help them fall asleep when in situations that are less than peaceful, such as on battlefields. According to Ackman, 96% of those who use the technique ended up falling asleep faster within 6 weeks of practice. Novelist Michael Grothaus tried the technique for Fast Company. He writes that it took around 1 week before he noticed a decrease in the amount of time he spent waiting to fall asleep. That's a great way to put it, waiting to fall asleep, because that's essentially what it is. You know, like, just I can't do anything about it here. I'm just going to wait. You can try this at home, and it doesn't require any special equipment or supplements. It's broken down to a five-step process. All right. So, focus on relaxing the muscles in your face, including your jaw and tongue, as well as the muscles around your eyes. Do not tense these areas. All right, so muscles in your face, your jaw, tongue, muscles around your eyes. Focus on relaxing those. Okay, that's your first step. Your second step, relax and drop your shoulders as far down as they'll go, and then move onto your upper and lower arms. First the left side, and then the right. Okay. So the shoulders drop down, and then move on to the upper and lower arms, drop those down, and relax. Exhale, relaxing your chest, and then move on to relaxing the muscles in your legs, including your thighs and calves. And spend at least 10 seconds trying to clear your mind before thinking about one of the following mental images. See, this might help me out, too. Picture yourself lying on a canoe in calm waters, peering at a clear blue sky, or lying in a black velvet hammock surrounded by darkness, or alternately, repeat, don't think, don't think, don't think, to yourself repeatedly in increments of 10 seconds of time. That's it. I'm going to try that out, Dan.
I look forward to hearing how it went on Monday.
Let's see what happens. I don't know about the... I'm going to try the don't think, don't think, don't think. I don't think that's going to... I really don't think that's going to work on me, though. You know? Just stuff pops into my head that it has no business being in there.
Right.
You know? And I don't... You know, I used to be much... more worrisome guy than I am now, and I still worry about stuff that I shouldn't worry about, but there was a time when I was like worried about everything. There was a time when I was in financial, I had some financial issues going on in my life. I was in a great deal of debt, and then I wasn't sleeping at all. Well, I was drinking a lot then too. And that also screws up your sleep. I can tell you that right now. You know, when I was a drinking man, you don't get restful sleep. If you go to sleep and you're drunk, that's not restful sleep at all. And it's not good sleep. It's not like, you know, restful, good sleep. It's not really even sleep. So coming from that world as well, you know, that's another adjustment that had to be made that affected my sleep. There's no question that it affected my sleep. So, all right, well, there you go. 120 seconds, you can fall asleep. Follow along those rules. Relax the faces, the muscles in your face. Drop your shoulders as far down as you can, and then move on to your upper and lower arms, left side first, then the right. Then relax your chest, exhale, move to the muscles in your legs, including your thighs and calves, and then spend 10 seconds trying to clear your mind. So clear your mind and then think about some of these other things, like you in a canoe with calm waters, peering at a clear blue sky, or lying in a black velvet hammock surrounded by darkness, or repeat, don't think, don't think, don't think, repeatedly in increments of 10 seconds at a time. And then maybe you can fall asleep like a normal person. I don't think anybody can fall asleep like Orion, though. That's a special thing right there. All right. All right, we got a few more sleep stories. And if you want to share your sleep stories with us, it's 312-981-7200. Also, if you have some advice, maybe you had difficulty falling asleep and you made that change. And I realized that, you know, sleeping, you know, like a normal pattern of sleep is disrupted by, you know, the way that, you know, the time that we work. And if you're up at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning it's a little bit different than somebody who goes to sleep every night at maybe 10 p.m. or 10:30 and gets up at 6 or 6:30, sleeps through the night. It's a completely different world that we live in. So, all right, we'll take a quick break here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Friday morning. All of our regular Friday features are coming up, and we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. So there you go. We've been talking about sleeping. And how do you guys, how well do you guys sleep? We just talked about a five-step little thing that you should go through that may help you to fall asleep faster. And I happen to have always had issues with sleeping. So it's aggravating, too. You know, Dan, sometimes it's really frustrating. Like, I lay in bed, and I'm like, man. And then I'll turn the light on, and I'll read. And I know, like, the another thing that's a no-no is you're supposed to not have your phone technically you shouldn't have your phone in the bedroom with you. It should be in the other room because right. You have this tendency, you know, if you can't sleep to turn it on and scroll and look around and check your phone. And that's not going to help. You got the screen thing, brighten it up, everything. It makes your eyes crazy, and then your brain starts working again. And I'm guilty of that, too, because I just get frustrated. I'm laying in bed trying to sleep. But the other thing is that I have the phone next to me because that's one of my alarms. It's one of the alarms I set. Now, I sleep light enough. I would imagine that I would if the phone were, you know, in the living room as opposed to in my bedroom, I'd probably still be able to hear it because I sleep late enough to hear it. But I never want to take that chance. You know what I mean? Because as we've talked about before, Dan, I have a tendency to have job anxiety dreams.
Right.
Where I've had these dreams where I'm either asleep and I wake up and I realize that I should be on the air. And this is the most narcissistic thing ever. But in my dreams, sometimes I'll turn the radio on. It'll be on 720 and it'll be dead air because I'm supposed to be on. So in my narcissistic mind, this radio station would shut down if I wasn't on the air.
I would give yourself, you and your Walk of Fame pack more credit and just assume that you think, like, I'm sleeping and I'm supposed to be at the radio station right now.
Right, I know, but I always found that detail to be like, look at, you know, I'm not analyzing it. It's just, it's a dream about panic, you know, and I'm supposed to be at work and I'm not. But I always, and whenever I talk, whenever I say it out loud, I'm like, what a jackass. You think WGN would be off the air if you weren't there? Wow. The ego on you. And then the other one that I have, which we've talked about, is I'm in the studio and the on-air light's on and I can't talk. Like, I'm trying to speak and I can't talk. So I have those sort of issues, which means there's no way I'm going to keep my backup alarm in the other room where I may not hear it, since I'm already, you know, while I'm sleeping, I'm thinking about not being able to get to work. You ever have those dreams?
Yeah, I do occasionally, and you know, it is tough because you're at home, so you're kind of like, well, I want to be away from work, and then it creeps in. So I feel your frustration there. But did you, with all that being said about your phone being your alarm clock, did you have a problem sleeping though before phones became so ubiquitous?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, if you had an alarm clock, it wouldn't really probably change anything. It might help in this situation.
I have my phone is my backup,
right?
Because I have a clock radio next to my bed, and that I set for 5 minutes before the phone alarm that's set. You know, so the first alarm is the clock radio, and that's usually the one that gets me up anyway because right. I'm such a light sleeper. So it's weird. I very rarely. Either sometimes I won't even set the alarm, the radio alarm.
Right.
And the other thing is, like, sometimes it's not set because I'm listening to a Hawks game or something. If mm-hmm. I fall asleep during the Hawks game, that's why I want to make sure I got my phone in there.
Right.
Because I want to wake up.
One tip that I've heard from people in the past is that you should have both of those items out of reach of the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to physically get up and walk to shut off or grab either one. And usually, like with me, I'm usually so tired I can just walk back and go to sleep. But for a lot of people, that little bit of walking slash gets you up.
No, that would do it for me. Because I wake up quickly, too. Like, I get up and I get out of bed. I'm not one of these people like, I'm all groggy. I get up. I'm like, all right, I'm awake, But I will say this. Now that I live alone, I don't have to deal with, because two of the women that I've lived with, my second wife and my girlfriend from years ago, were just addicted to the snooze. And as someone who had an opposite, like for me, I don't use the snooze. Like when I hear the alarm, I get up. I'm I know a lot of people who use the snooze and can hit the snooze button like 10 times before they get up. And I just don't understand that. I don't understand how anybody can go back to sleep after they hear an alarm. They hit the snooze button because all I think about is, in three more minutes, that snooze, the alarm's going to go off. I can't get relaxed again. As soon as I hear the alarm, I'll hit the snooze, get a couple of more minutes. Because all I keep thinking about is anticipating that next alarm. But I'll tell you what, it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts because my second ex-wife, man, I'm not kidding, 12 times in the morning. Like, I'd be laying there like, oh my God. And then I knew it would 12. And I wouldn't say anything to her because that's the way she slept. That's the way she got up in the morning. But, laying next to her and having the snooze alarm go off like 12 times every single morning was really frustrating, especially, the schedule that I had. So, anyway, hang on. There are people who are calling in. Everybody hang on. We got a couple more sleep-related stories to talk about. One about sleep inertia that we can talk about, and one about how long can you go without sleep. So, it's interesting to talk about this topic, especially at this time of night with the kind of people who work third shift or work second shift or whatever. So 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The news is coming up next here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be coming up in just a little bit. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and of course, Fly Jams Friday. DJ Shagru will be spinning your requests for funky R&B and soul coming up later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about sleep, and there was an article about there's these five steps that you can go through that could help you relax and fall asleep in perhaps 120 seconds, which is about 90 minutes earlier than I can fall I can fall asleep. Hey Vic, your sleep pattern is because you started working the overnights just not too long ago,
Well, I've been working kind of a weird shift for about 5 years now, mm-hmm. because before I started doing your show the entire time, through the entire night, I was still having to get up at like 2:45 in the morning to be here at like 4.
Aww.
So I've been doing it for a while. But I read this study as well and tried it, and it relaxed me the first time I tried it.
Is that right?
And I've done meditation for a long time well, so it's kind of...
Yeah,
similar to a meditation.
And you're able to fall asleep. You don't have trouble sleeping.
You know what? The best thing I ever did was I purchased blackout blinds.
Yeah,
and that's changed everything. It's like nighttime.
Yeah, yeah. There is a challenge in working this shift, to falling asleep. And I don't live in a very quiet area. I live like on a main street, like by an expressway. And an L stop. So,
that's tough.
Doesn't help.
I got chewed out by an Uber driver almost the entire drive. During the entire drive, he was chewing me out about how I need to get off the night shift for my health.
So, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope you didn't rate him a 5.
I always rate him 5.
I know, so do I. I do the same thing. I give him a tip and I rate him a 5. That's like...
Yep, yep.
All right. Well, those are some interesting ideas on how to fall asleep. Let's talk to some other people here. Here's Sue on WGN. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
And I've been a longtime WGN listener, and I'm a late night owl person myself, whatever, artist person. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I've had sleeping issues my whole life since I've been like 10 years old. Mm. And so one thing that's helped with me is, and again, thank you for taking my call, is ASMR. Have you ever listened to any of that type of music?
No, I haven't.
That's, I'll just keep this very brief, of course, is autonomous sensory meridian response. That's what it stands for. And it's kind of like that tingling experience, like when you put those little wires on your head, you know, with the little balls, and it gives you a good feeling sometimes, and it starts like on your head and travels down a little bit down your back and so on to try and relax.
Mm-hmm.
And also something like, it's called, I know this sounds crazy maybe, but a blanket, I mean, like a weighted blanket sometimes helps, or like a pillow between your legs. And so I've tried, I know this sounds all kind of maybe nutty, but some of these things I've, you know, it's been a lifelong issue with me, and some of those things help.
Yeah, well, they, you know, you mentioned, sometimes. You said, Sue, you said the weighted blanket, that's kind of the same aspect as the, or the same kind of similar to the, to using the bag of rice.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. But so now, Sue, do you have to be up in a few hours or no?
Yeah, I do have to be up in a few hours. I mean, I have pretty much a regular work schedule, but like I said, it's hard when you're a night person, but you work like a regular shift, yeah. Which I know you don't. But
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm working right now. I'm at work right now, Sue. So
well, I know that.
So
know
all right,
that.
Well, Sue, good luck. Good luck with your pursuits and sleeping. Okay.
And you too.
And thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Sue, with trying different things over the years. So here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Hey.
How you doing?
All right.
Now I know from hearing in the past that one of the things you shouldn't be doing is getting interested into a program if you want to lay down and sleep or listening to a hockey game.
Yeah, I know. But it's my Hawks, though. So, I mean...
I'll record it.
Yeah. Well, no, because I can't avoid the score. You know what I mean? I can't. There's no way that I can avoid the outcome of the score of the game. Well, I would have loved to have avoided last night's game in general because they looked terrible last night. But yeah. So
I mean, if you got to have the phone on your nightstand, you can always turn it over so you don't see the face. You know, the brightness.
Well, no, the phone goes out. I mean, the light goes out, you know, like you can turn the phone off. It's not lit the entire time. So my phone isn't at the,
right.
You know, it's not upright and have to worry about that. So,
yeah, I mean, I drive truck while I'm driving right now in Chicago. So I kind of have the same shift that you guys do, except I have the luxury that if I get tired, I can pull over for a 15-minute nap. Say with that, you it'd be dead air if you did that,
right?
but I don't know, you know, get a white noise machine if you got noise coming out of the, you know, from your apartment.
Well,
take care of the outside noise.
I got a fan at the foot of my bed, and that helps me, you know, that helps me relax.
Well, you know, that helps a lot, the humming noise.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah it's not only that I mean, I like it. I like the humming noise, and I also like to have the cool air blowing on me.
Right. So. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the fan, too, blowing on my bed. You know, I sleep during the, you know, middle, you know, the morning to the afternoon.
Right, right.
I usually get maybe 6 hours of sleep. And then if I get tired at night, I just pull over for 15. And
right.
Usually does the trick, you know.
Right. All right. Well, Glenn, be safe out there, okay?
All right. Have
Thanks,
a nice
buddy.
Night.
Take care.
Have a nice weekend.
See ya.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, like I know Glenn is driving, you know, in the middle of the night. It's not, I'm never tired when I'm here. You know what I mean? I mean, I might get a little loopy if I don't get any sleep, but I'm always, you know, like, cause this is, I mean, I love doing this job. And so I'm always excited to be here and I'm always excited to entertain people and talk to some interesting guests and talk to you guys. So this is not an issue of like me being tired now, like, cause I'm up late. It's the issue of me not being able to fall asleep when I get home. That's the main issue. So, 224 area code says, I work two jobs and 85 hours a week. Wow, man. My first job is 11 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And my second is 11:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. I sleep between the two jobs and it's 3 hours. I fall asleep 10 to 15 seconds once my head hits the pillow. Wow. All right. That's a lot of time to be working, man. 262 says, give me some jazz music and I'm out like a light. All right. Mile High Max says, I've always been a night owl. I think most of us were born this way, like being left-handed. Well, I'm both. I don't know what that... Yeah. Liz says, one trick I've learned involves the alphabet, starting with A, name six cities, move to B, etc. Get your brain off of your issues. Oh, all right. Go through the alphabet, name some cities. Okay. Megan says, I sleep terribly. I'm a night owl and have been since I was a baby. I'd much rather be up at night and sleep in the morning and early afternoon. Unfortunately, it's not how society works. So it's more that I'm on a different clock from the world, and it affects my sleep. I've worked on it with doctors before, and I take medication for it now, and it's a mess. So, all right. Now, what about people going without sleep? Here's an interesting story here. You're probably familiar with the National Sleep Foundation guidelines suggesting that people should get approximately 7 to 9 hours. It's 9 hours of sleep each night. You also probably know that the human body requires regular sleep so it can perform critical physiological functions such as muscle tissue repair, memory consolidation, and hormone synthesis. But let's be honest, every so often you need to stay awake for an extended period of time, whether you're cramming for an exam or you're working on a deadline. So how long is a person actually physically able to go without sleeping? Randy Gardner currently holds the world record for sleep deprivation at 11 days, 25 minutes. What? 11 days, 25 minutes? But according to W. Christopher Winter, MD, author of The Sleep Solution, there's reason to be skeptical about this record. Investigators freely admit that he was having near-constant microsleeps during the experiment, he told Men's Health. Even if someone does manage to stay up for days at a time, it's not great for your mental health. Well, no kidding. In 1959, for instance, a radio presenter named Peter Tripp decided to broadcast his show from the middle of Times Square for 201 hours straight to raise money for a children's foundation. By day three, Tripp had begun acting out, cursing at people around him and hallucinating spiders. Could you imagine being on the air? You producing that show, Dan? Could you imagine your host starting to hallucinate spiders?
Yeah.
I mean, I may be a jackass to work for, but I don't hallucinate spiders on the air. Well, at least as far as you know.
I was going to say, you didn't add yet.
So, let's see. By day three, yeah, Tripp had begun acting out. He was cursing at people around him, hallucinating spiders. Well, that's just like, that's a normal day working for Mancow, right? Hold on a minute. Wait a second now. Hold it.
All right.
Although he managed to finish the experiment and recover shortly after, his family members said he was never quite the same again. That's just crazy, man. 201 hours? I was telling you off the air, Dan, that I used to kind of lose it on, because, you know, this weekend is when you fall back and you turn your clocks back an hour. And back in the days when I was working Saturday overnights, I would be on that shift. And because that hour didn't exist when sales were selling ads, we wouldn't have commercials for an hour. So either Gary and I or me by myself would have to do an extra hour, which was already, I think, doing a 5-hour shift. So we were doing like 6 hours that morning and no commercials. So we couldn't even really take a break. We'd throw in some PSAs here and there, but there were no breaks. And I was complaining about that. 201 hours? Now, is he the only one? Because he's got to have a staff, right? And the whole staff didn't stay up 201 hours, right?
Yeah, I mean, what year did it say? Like 1959. 59. So yeah. I mean, it might have just been.
Might have just been him with a mic.
Yeah, you know, an engineer sets it up and walks away, and maybe a producer.
Oh, well, that's crazy. There have been many viral internet stories about people who claim that they're not sleeping at all or who get 1 hour of sleep per night. But Winter says these stories are probably inaccurate. Many people think that they're not sleeping and do not believe that their doctors or their Fitbits who say they are. In other words, although people may believe they're only getting an hour or so of sleep per night, the truth is that they're likely sleeping without knowing it, even if it's just for a few minutes. Truth is, it's almost physically impossible to stay awake for days at a time because your brain will essentially force you to fall asleep. Winter says that as much as you may try to force yourself to stay awake, eventually your brain gets fixated on sleep, and at a certain point, there's not much you can do about it. Additionally, there are numerous health risks associated with long-term lack of sleep. Michael Breas, PhD, sleep specialist and founder of the website The Sleep Doctor, says that the lack of sleep is linked to side effects such as weight gain, decreased sexual arousal, and weakened immune system, you're also more prone to accidents, especially if you're behind the wheel of a car. So while there is no set number of hours or how long a person can stay awake, this experiment's probably not worth trying. My record is 48 hours, and I was hallucinating the sound of my mom whispering me in my head, and that was not fun. I don't know how long I've stayed awake. I would imagine I've done 24 hours. You know?
I've only done 24 hours twice in my life.
And
I can't do it. I can't stay up past then.
Was it because of school?
No.
No?
It was... Actually, once was school, yeah, because I imagine a Pegasus on the ceiling of the library.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I remember when I worked the night shift at Jewel, and I started going to movie screenings during the day. I remember I did a full night night shift, and there was a 10 a.m. screening and a noon screening, and I went straight to them. And the second screening was Peggy Sue Got Married. And the first time I saw it was after, like, no sleep. Like, all night I'd been up maybe... At that point, I'd probably been up about 17, 18 hours. And I remember, like, freaking out during Peggy Sue Got Married. That's because, Dan, I was just saying that I worked all night at Jewel and went to... At this point, I started going to movie screenings on a regular basis. And I worked all night at Jewel. There was a 10 a.m. screening and a noon screening. And I figured I'd just go straight there. And I went. I can't remember what the first movie was, the 10 a.m. screening. But the noon screening was Peggy Sue Got Married. And I started freaking out during Peggy Sue Got Married. I was like, man, this is crazy. This movie's crazy. You know, because it was time travel and all that stuff, and Nicolas Cage performance is so weird in it. I was sitting next to Roy, and Roy's like, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "I don't know. This movie's crazy." Like, go home, get some sleep, idiot. Thank you. All right, let's take a break. We got another sleep story to talk about. We want to hear from you. Talk or text 312-981-7200. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday morning. All of our regular features, Fly Jams Friday. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, the great Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. And we've been talking about sleeping and some sleeping issues that many of us have, especially people who work this shift, and you have to adjust and kind of change your life in order to do that. I will say this, then, we've talked about this before, Dan. I don't know. I would much rather have this shift than have the morning drive shift. I mean, obviously, the most popular part of a radio station is the morning drive.
Right.
But you know, to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning is, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and go to bed at 8.
Yeah.
You know, I did tell people who are like, oh, that's an awful shift. I'm like, you know, I have breakfast and dinner with my kids every night. A lot of people can't say that.
It's true.
And I know a lot of people on the morning shift, you know, can't do that. You know?
Yeah. 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 It's true. Yeah. I mean, people, you know, a lot of people think it's weird that we work these hours. Like I for years, Dan, I've talked to people like, I don't know how you can do that. And I'm like, well, you just, this is when I work. And I just sleep when you guys work. That's kind of,
right. Right. I also think, because we're both night owls to begin with.
Yeah.
I think that, like, a lot of people are saying, like, it's just we're lucky to have a job that matches our sleep schedule as opposed to the other way around.
That's right. That's right. All right. Let's see. Here's Scott on WGN. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, buddy. What's up?
Love your show.
Thank you.
Love you guys. I'm a truck driver,
mm-hmm.
and I'm driving right now. I drive from like 8 o'clock till 6 in the morning, so I have a weird schedule, too.
Right.
I just wanted to ask you, when you go through your weekends, do you flip your schedule around, or you just kind of keep it the same way?
No, Fridays, I usually keep it pretty much like regular, like I normally would. So like I'll sleep like on a Friday, like today when I get home, I watch TV, maybe stay up a little bit later than I normally do, and I will probably sleep through the evening and then get up and stay up really late. But Saturday, I get up and I do stuff in the afternoon, and I have like a normal schedule and try to go to bed at around 1 or 2 in the morning. So Saturday is semi-normal, and then I'm back to it on Sunday. But I try to keep Friday the same as Sunday night through, you know, for Friday.
Yeah. Okay. I told Dan one of the most profound changes, the new sleep technology, the new mattresses they have out, you know, any kind of memory foam. It has been a life changer for me because those beds are so comfortable nowadays.
Is that right?
I love my bed. It's like I get in it and it holds me.
No, I understand. I mean, you know, and I'm sure that I probably should experiment a little bit more with like changing my mattress
Maybe. Please do.
I mean, I have a MyPillow and I love the MyPillow. I think the MyPillow is really great.
Imagine a whole bed made like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, it could be. Maybe I should try to get a new mattress, but I'm cheap and lazy.
don't be cheap.
Okay.
I spend like $4,000 on my bed.
Good Lord. Okay.
But you spend a third of your life in your bed.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, no,
so,
that's a good point. That's a good point. So, all right.
You drive a car for 2 hours a day and spend $30,000 on it. So,
right.
You know,
right.
What the heck?
All right. Okay. All right, Scott. Thanks, man.
All right.
Take care.
Get a new bed.
All right. Thank you. $4,000. Wow. $4,000. Dan,
I mean, he's got a point. If it makes your life that much better,
yeah. He clearly didn't. He clearly didn't buy it in February. That's so. Yeah. No, but I hear a lot of really great stuff about the memory foam and all these mattresses. And I see commercials, you know, where you can adjust your side of the bed and the other side. And if the guy next to you is snoring, you can hit a button and it moves him and all that stuff. I mean, we're in the 21st century, and there's a lot of sleep technology out there that I probably could take advantage of if I wasn't both cheap and lazy. But, yeah, that still seems like a lot of – that seems $4,000. But, I mean, he's right. We spend so much time in bed, and we should probably get some restful sleep. You know, you drop $4,000, and then, you know – you save money on, NyQuil. on the cases of NyQuil, you have to. Do you ever hear Dennis Leary's bit about how NyQuil is the 13th step in alcoholism? Like, because you can just drink a whole bunch of NyQuil, and if people ask you if you're drunk, say, no, I have a cold. Oh, man. Did I tell you, Dan, that after I stopped drinking whiskey and stuff, I took some Robitussin, just some Robitussin. I had a cold. This was last year. I had a cold. It was the first time I took Robitussin, and it knocked me on my ass. I'm a guy who used to drink a half a bottle of whiskey a day, okay? I used to drink Jameson like it was water, and I haven't since 2015. I did a shot of Robitussin, and I was like, oh, my God. I felt like I was drunk, and I went right to bed. But I don't want to do that on a regular basis. See, it's not healthy to do that. But I did legitimately have a cold, and I very rarely take medicine like that. And it had been such a long time. But I remember it was last year, man. Last year it was right around this time, like flu season. And I was like, I got to go get some. So I got Robitussin. I swear to you, it was one of the little plastic shot glasses of Robitussin. One. I took that. 10 minutes later, I'm like, Makes a big difference, man. All right, we're going to take a break here on WGN. The news is next. Yeah. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Friday, man. Yeah, man, Friday! All the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spy, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Right now, though, we've been talking about, for a little bit here, we've been talking about sleep and how you sleep and what helps you to fall asleep and if you have a weird sleep pattern or weird sleep activities. Or, like me, if you can't fall asleep, it takes a very, very long time or, you know, you don't sleep as much as you should. That's an issue that we've been talking about, especially, you know, during these hours. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, 312-981-7200. 815 area code says, I have problems sleeping, but my husband could fall asleep in 2 seconds and then top it all off. He's a heavy snorer. Yeah. Yeah, that must be, that might be an issue. 773 area code says, bartenders and servers get waiter nightmares or waitmares. Well, when they get overworked, you dream horror scenarios wherever food never comes out. You have raging guests, etc. Yeah, I think a lot of people have, you know, those, you know, job associated dreams, work dreams, nightmares. Especially if you care about your job, that might be a, you know what I mean. Like if you don't care about your, you know what, I will say this. I never had dreams that we were out of canned peaches. When I worked at Jewel, that was not, I never had a nightmare that we were never going to get a delivery of milk in the dairy department. I cared about, you know, my job at Jewel, but not to the extent that I cared enough to let it bother me when I wasn't there. But yeah, I don't recall ever having a nightmare where someone comes up and goes, all of the eggs are cracked. Never had that nightmare. Never did. Or having to go back into the stock room or go down to the stock room and find something for a customer and it's not there that I thought it was. Never had that. Never. Never once. Dreams about showing up late here and not being able to speak, I have on a pretty regular basis because I love this job. 870 area code says, I have nonstop 24 disorder and I'm on a 30-hour day schedule. I'm awake for 24 and then sleep 6 to 8. It sucks. Very few people who are not blind have it. Blind people cannot tell the difference between night and day. So, 924 disorder. Let's see. Sleep inertia is supposed to be real. They're considering it real. Naps can be a great way to catch up on sleep if you do them right. Wake up from the wrong stage of sleep and you'll feel groggy and terrible, not refreshed and perky. When your brain isn't allowed to get through a full sleep cycle, you're likely to experience what scientists call sleep inertia, or what regular folks just call grogginess. Researchers are now able to tell us why our cognitive performance is so poor right when we wake up. In a new study that scanned the brains of volunteer nappers, SciPost reports, scientists found that waking up from a nap disrupts the functional connectivity between brain networks and other neurophysical challenges or changes. A recent study published in the Journal of Neuroimage looked at the brains of 34 volunteers before and after they took a 45-minute nap. Researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, and the Lyon Neuroscience Research Center in France measured the subjects' brain activity 5 minutes and 25 minutes after waking up using an EEG, fMRI, and behavioral observation to see exactly how sleep inertia affects the body. Participants were asked to stay awake from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. the night before to ensure that they would fall asleep during the test. Some were woken up during relatively light sleep, which is stage 2, while others were woken up during deep sleep, which is stage 3. They found that both groups showed decreased performance on the subtraction task. Right after they woke up, the participants' EEG readings showed that more delta brainwave activity associated with deep sleep. And the scans on the brain showed a decreased functional connectivity between brain networks. The brain connectivity disruption was worse for those who were awakened during the deep sleep. By the 25-minute period, though, most of the effects on the brain had worn off, with participants' brains returning to the state of similar pre-sleep measurements. However, the light sleep group seemed to recover better, while the sleep inertia didn't dissipate as quickly for the deep sleep group. So, yes, the dangers of waking up in the wrong sleep stage are real. Researchers tell SciPost that people should limit their naps to 25 minutes or less, ensuring that they don't reach the deep sleep phase at all or spend 90 minutes sleeping through an entire cycle. All right, there you go. Let's see. Here's Julia on WGN. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Hi. I have two recommendations for you. So my first recommendation is, did you ever think to ask the doctor to give you, like, a prescription for sleeping pills?
No, that's not a route I want to go down.
Right, I understand, but I just want to say that, like, the doctors recommend 8 hours of sleep, and sometimes if you weigh it out, like, is it more dangerous to not have sleep? They say, like, it affects your health, you know, or taking some sleeping pills, you know, sometimes you have to do what's better for you, you know?
Yeah, I know. I understand all that. The problem is, and I don't want to take sleeping pills. The problem is, Julia, that I have an addictive personality. That's an issue. And you know, I've struggled over the years with alcohol, and I don't want to add anything like that. I mean, I know there are natural things that you can take, you know, like herbs and melatonin and things like that, that you can take. And I, you know, maybe I should try some of that, but I really don't want to get a subscription. I would not like to have pills sent to my mailbox in subscription form. No, I don't want to get a prescription of medication to sleeping pills. I just don't want to do that. I want to stay away from anything that alters me in that kind of way, because I'm not good with those things. I'm not a person who needs to have those things. So thank you, Julia, for your concern and your thoughts. Let's see. Let's go to Squat. Hi, Squat.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right.
First of all, that's, you know, cross dependency as far as what she or Julie had to say. You know, I never told that I'm a recovered alcoholic and sober for 22 years. So.
For you, man. Congratulations.
You too. Short story about I was a sleepwalker when I was young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I actually wanted to do it now somehow. But my sister caught me coming downstairs saying some stupid stuff. But my uncle took me camping with him and my cousins. They had an 8-man tent, and there was a pup tent that my cousin Doug, who I was pretty close to, we slept in the pup tent. Well, come to be when we woke up in the morning, I was in the 8-man tent, freaking out because I don't know where I was. I had cut a hole in the back of the pup tent.
Wow, man.
And ended up in the 8-man tent. He's a deacon out of Rockford now. And he still tells that story. It makes some connection with a sermon or something for that. So, yeah.
Did you grow up? So, Squat, what happened? Did you grow out of it? Did you suddenly just stop walking in your sleep?
I guess I did. There was about four or five times my sister told me I had done this. Plus that one time. And times where I probably didn't even know. I must have grown out of it.
Right.
Because, you know.
Well, that's actually kind of scary, man. You cut a hole in the tent. That's pretty scary, and you don't remember it.
You know, it is scary.
Yeah.
Wow. But I never thought it was scary, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, well, there you go. Of course you did. All right, Squat, thanks, man.
Thanks. All right,
there you go. Take care. Wow, man, that's kind of scary, man. I think sleepwalking is pretty terrifying, actually. And I know people who have dealt with it. Do you know anybody who was a sleepwalker?
No, you know, my brother did it once or twice, and it was just, you know, half asleep, wasn't anything serious. But yeah, I agree.
No, because it's scary stuff. It's really, really scary stuff, man. How about you ever see footage, and this is a real thing, of people sleep eating?
No.
You've never seen that? They did. I remember it was either a 2020 or one of those news shows a few years back. They did a thing about people who sleep eat, and they would put cameras in the middle of the night. They would put cameras like in the kitchen, and people wouldn't remember it. And they would go to the kitchen and open up the fridge and take stuff out and just start eating, like standing in the kitchen and eating. And because people would wake up and there would be like crumbs, or like, you know, like if they had like leftover chicken or something, like fried chicken, there'd be like their hands would be like kind of oily. And they'd wake up and go, why is this what? It's an actual condition. It wasn't just like one isolated case. They talked to a lot of people who they were doing sleep studies on, get up in the middle of the night and eat, and then not remember it the next day. It's fascinating, though, how your brain works. It really is crazy, man. Here's Trucker Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, Nick? Right. Hey, couple quick thoughts here. I've got sleep apnea, and when I put my machine on, I'm out in like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But like you, I had the addiction problem, and I beat it about 95. I gave it up. But melatonin and not NyQuil, but ZQuil.
ZQuil, yeah. ZQuil they've got, that, yeah.
No alcohol, but yeah, the melatonin will help you.
Yeah.
And my nightmare is not being on work on time driving a truck. And this has happened three times in the last year. Like, I'll be home. I don't drive overnight on Friday nights or Saturday nights, but I'll fall asleep in a chair watching a movie on Stars. And your theme song is, what is it? Is it Talladega Nights, Legend of Ricky Bobby, or the other way around?
Well, it's in the movie. I mean, that's the right. Song is in there. Yes, I Feel All Right is in the movie. Yes.
Right. And I've fallen asleep and heard that song come on the TV.
Oh, my God.
With the TV on, and sat up in the chair and called my boss and woke him up in the middle of the night and said, oh, my God, I overslept. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave for the truck now.
That's fantastic.
And they're like, what the heck are you talking about?
Oh, that's so funny.
Working tonight.
That's so funny, so, man. I'm sorry that happens to you, but that's really pretty funny.
It's just like when a person works overnight, they don't look at the clock. They've got,
right.
You know, what's the word I'm looking for? Little time stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
man.
Now you're at 1 o'clock,
right.
But for how many years you were at 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock, yeah. Wow,
you know,
man.
Yeah. And like driving a truck, I knew where I was supposed to be when I'm awake driving when you come on the radio. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and we'll call and wake up the boss and start apologizing. And he's like, you're not working tonight.
Oh, that's so funny.
Go back to sleep.
That is so funny. That's a great story, yeah. Rich. Thanks. By the way, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening so much that it affects your work.
Oh, yeah. You're my time clock. Okay. Nick's on now. It's time. I gotta be heading east or west now. So
did it screw you up yesterday because we were on a half an hour earlier because we started at 12:30?
I was already working, but I was like,
what's going on?
I was looking at the clock on the dashboard and I swiped my phone. You know, it's like, oh man, I'm really running late tonight.
Oh, that's great. All right, Rich, thanks for the call, man. Be safe out there.
Yep. That's you funny. Too. Have a good weekend.
It's really funny, Dan. Whenever I hear that song, I'm like, I just think immediately that I have to be at the mic.
Yeah,
that's so funny. He's watching Talladega Nights and he falls asleep.
It is funny because like everybody has those from the radio shows they listen to. You know, Bill Leff used to open up his show with one of the lines from Dracula, "Children of the Dog."
Yes.
You know, and so like anytime I hear that like on the TV, I feel like I'm back in Studio A on the seventh floor.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, that's a fun way to end that topic right there. That was a great story. Thank you, Trucker Rich. Be safe out there, everybody. So let's take a break. And when we come back after the break, we've got weather and then we got a break. And then when we come back, all the regular features will start with you, Big Dummy.
Here's Dummy. You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy. See what you did? Oh, no. You Big Dummy. You Dummy.
Welcome back, everybody. You know our regular Friday features are beginning, and coming up, we got Fly Jams Friday. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. You know what this is. This is You Big Dummy. This is where we read actual news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff that most of the time gets them arrested. We read these stories and then we vote on who the biggest dummy is. And if you would like to participate in You Big Dummy, you can. Find the link to a funny real news story of a dummy doing something dumb. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Tell Dan you'd like to do it on the air. He'll get a hold of you, record it. You will not only be part of the radio show and You Big Dummy, but you also get yourself a Lou Malnati's pizza. And that's a win-win-win situation. So find that dummy story and send it in. And also, you can participate with us in just a little bit when we vote. The first person who calls in at 312-981-7200 casts the last vote, the third vote, on who will be dummy of the week. So let's get this thing going. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy one. firefighters in China rescued a man whose arm became stuck inside a noodle-making machine. Video shows a man with his arm stuck deep inside a pasta-making machine after attempting to retrieve some of the dough that he had dropped into the mechanism. The footage shows the firefighters removing screws from the machine before using a hydraulic spreader to create a gap wide enough to remove the man's arm. Firefighters said that the rescue took over 20 minutes.
Before this game, you were just a plain dummy. But after the night, you'd be a broke dummy. Sold to the dummy with the black mustache.
The dedicated pasta maker right there. Dummy number two. Dummy number da, 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 two. Dummy number two. Police have arrested two men suspected in a pumpkin-powered crime spree. The Oregonian Oregon Live reports the two men face multiple counts of criminal mischief in connection with at least 50 vehicles vandalized and damaged between October 7th and 23rd, authorities said. Police say they drove around town at night, snatching pumpkins from outdoor supermarket displays, which they would hurl through car windows. What? Damages reported by victims are at about $30,000 and continue to climb. They were helped in finding the suspects because they carried out the alleged vandalism in an easy, recognizable gold Buick with a large dent in one side. It wasn't immediately known if the men had lawyers.
What kind of life do you think it is being the father of a young dummy? And for every dummy, there's a dummy.
$30,000 worth of damage. Well, why do you what goes through your head when you go, hey, let's get some pumpkins and start whipping them through car windows? What the hell? All right. Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Our reader this week for dummy number three is Dan. Not you, Dan, right?
Nope, not me.
Okay. But Dan is our reader, and for being our reader, he wins a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Take it away, Dan.
A gas station owner is asking people not to warm urine in the microwave. We got sick and tired of people bringing their urine containers, said the owner of On the Fly convenience store and BP gas station in Jacksonville. They're just random people walking, and it's happening every day. The people who come to do it are not customers. They walk in off the street, microwave the urine containers, then leave, he added. The gas station is within walking distance of a Quest Diagnostics and a LabCorp. Both companies offer drug testing services and collect urine samples. A few months ago, one woman was so combative, the owner decided to put the now infamous sign on the microwave. She started cussing at me. She said, well, where is the sign that says you can't use this for this kind of purpose? That gave me the idea. If that's what you're asking me, then I'll put the sign saying that this is only for food use and not to use with your urine or anything else, he explained. And now back to you, Nick.
I don't even know what to say. First of all, the store was called On the Fly. On the Fly. Warming up urine on the fly. All right.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home super dummy. But if you and Rollo going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
All right. Let's take a break here for the news. I still... I don't even really know what to say about that, warming up urine. I will say this, but now, you know, you put the sign out there that says this is only for food use, not warming up urine. I would never use that microwave. That would be, I'd look at that sign and go, what is this? If they have to put a sign up, if people have been putting urine in this microwave, yeah, I'll use a different microwave at a different store. Thank you. And it's called On the Fly. All right. We got two more dummies to go through. We'll do the recap and the vote coming up after the news, which is coming up right after this. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Friday morning, and we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 with the opening bell, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we are here until 5 a.m. And our regular Friday features have begun. Yeah. We're in the middle of You Big Dummy. Before we jump back into this, Dan, I just wanted to mention this. I thought this was kind of timely and funny. Scrolling through my Facebook page, one of the people on my news feed posted like a picture with some, just, you know, like a meme sort of thing, and it just says, there's no other words, it just says, I finally got 8 hours of sleep. Took me 3 days, but whatever. And I thought that was kind of appropriate to find that one there. All right, let's get back to it. Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy number four. An alleged smuggler was found with three venomous cobras hidden under the seat of his motor scooter. A video recorded by wildlife officials shows what authorities found when they stopped the man and searched his scooter. The man, who had been reported frequenting for suspected poaching of suspected poaching activities, was found to be hiding three hissing cobras under the seat of his vehicle. The footage shows the snakes were alive and showed aggression toward the rescuers. Cobras are a protected species in India, but they are prized by poachers for their skins and venom.
There's something for you right here. Want it, dummy. Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
Dummy number five, dummy number five. Dummy five! Police say a half-naked woman fell twice through a restaurant ceiling and landed in its kitchen. News outlets report the 26-year-old was arrested Tuesday on charges including trespassing and disorderly conduct. A cookout employee called 911 when the naked bottom half of a woman dropped through the ceiling tiles. A responding officer found her wallet with her ID on the restaurant's roof. Police say she may have gotten into the ceiling through an air conditioning unit. The woman fell through the ceiling again while the officer was on the roof. It says she landed on the floor and was arrested by other officers. It's unclear of whether she has a lawyer.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
All right. We have to vote. This is, again, a pretty exceptional week, Dan. I have so many questions about a few of these. I really do. So we have to recap here. And by the way, after we recap, the first caller in will be our third vote. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here we go. Do we want dummy number one, the guy who got his arm stuck in a pasta machine? Number two is the guys who hurled pumpkins through car windows and caused $30,000 worth of damage. Number three would be the people who were microwaving their pee at a gas station. Called In On The Fly, by the way. For the guy transporting venomous snakes in his scooter, or the naked lady who fell through the ceiling twice. So those are our choices. Dan, where are you going?
Hmm. You know, I think the only better gas station name than On the Fly would have been On the Go. That would have been pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, we just read the stories. We don't include the funny headlines, but kudos to all the headline writers who said hot buns, lady falls through ceiling half naked. I think the detail that makes me lean towards number two and the pumpkin spree, crime spree.
Yeah.
Dummies, is the fact that they were given away by their gold Buick with a huge dent in the side.
Right.
Just like, of course they would be riding around.
It's a very inconspicuous car.
I mean, it's just like, if it was a movie, that would be the car they would be driving.
Exactly.
So the dent and the fact it's an old gold Buick, I will vote.
You're going for the pumpkin hurlers. All right. The thing here is, I have questions about the naked lady falling through the roof twice, falling through the ceiling twice. Here's my question: was she naked and she just carried her ID?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know, because they said they found her. They didn't say they found clothes or anything. They said they found her wallet with an ID in it. So she was just walking around naked, carrying her wallet, wanted to make sure she had her ID. That's a detail that I'm not that I'm a little bit sketchy on. I don't know what's going on. These are all really good. And the people microwaving their pee in the gas station, and Dan's delivery of it was very funny too. So I'm going to go with the people microwaving their pee, at the gas station, because that's unbelievably dumb. And again, I would not use that microwave, because that sign would, you know, if they have to put a sign up that says don't microwave your pee in this microwave, I'm not using that microwave. I can hold off on the popcorn. All right, so we got to get a third vote. 312-981-7200. We're at a tie here, so we've got the pumpkin hurlers, or we've got the people microwaving their pee. What are you guys going to go with? Maybe we got a deciding vote here. All right, we got Steven. He is our deciding vote. Steven, who are you going to go with here? Steven?
Urine in the microwave.
Urine in the microwave. All right. Thank you, Steven. There we go. Urine in the microwave. That's a good Bruce Springsteen album, wasn't it? Yeah, urine in the microwave. it was solid, though. It was solid. I mean, the guy riding around on a scooter with venomous cobras, I don't know. That's also fantastic. And the guy who got his arm stuck in the pasta machine, that's pretty great too. He had to be rescued by the fire, by the fireman. That's pretty great. So anyway, a good week. But our winner is the idiots who microwave their pee in a gas station. So there you go. All righty then.
The other thing too is that, like, the audaciousness of that lady to be like, there's no sign. Like,
I know.
You're caught. You know, I would slink away and feel very bad and be like, what am I doing with my life? But that lady's like, no, you didn't say that.
Well, I don't, when you are going to those facilities, when you're going to those, like, drug facilities, what are they doing? Does a urine have to be warm?
No, I think they're hoping it eradicates any trace of drugs in the urine.
So they think they want to get rid of the drugs in the urine.
They think that like, by doing that, it's gonna like clean
where
it
do
out.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. I could kind of see that. You know,
maybe they've got untainted urine that they got from somebody else like 2 days ago, and they had it in the fridge, and they want it to be fresh.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
so they stick it in the microwave. Oh boy. All right. Urine in the microwave. I love that band. All right. Should we start here?
Yeah.
Why don't we start it? Because this is what. Hold on. Where am I going with it? There it is. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Because Ice Cube is crazy as F bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping. But when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context.
Context. What's up? Tell them where you're from. Straight out of context.
Yes, exactly right. That's right. It's straight out of context. And this is when you listen to this radio station 24/7 whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And then we play them back and giggle every Friday morning. All right. Should we begin with a couple here?
Yeah, we'll get one or two in here. Right. Lake Geneva Dan heard this one of Harry Tynowitz.
Constant pumping.
Good ears. Good ears, listeners. All right.
Tony emailed this one of Violetta Podramatic.
I'm not interested in the very big ones anymore.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Peter Indicator sent in this one of you.
Oh, good old boobies. What was... Oh, the hot dog place, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank God.
One more before we break. Mark yeah. Dean Aurora, Kelly from Elgin, and Dirty Dave heard this one of Steve Grzanich.
Well, we'll start easy and then go hard, right?
Whoa. Wow. Wow. All right. Well, we're off to an interesting start for Straight Out of Context, and we will continue with it after we break here for some weather and a commercial break here. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context, context. What's up? Tell them where you're from. Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Straight Out of Context continues. Welcome back, everybody. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Nick DiGilio here, and the Friday features are moving on. Straight Out of Context, when you guys listen to this station 24-7, when somebody says something that it sounds dirty, jot it down, send it in, and we play them back. Shall we begin again?
If we may actually take a pause to address about 8 to 10 texts we received from our last segment that I just saw.
Uh-huh.
You were closer to than I was on our theory about the microwave. If the temperature of the pea is not 98 degrees, it is invalid.
Wow.
So several law enforcement people slash, I don't know, people who take drug tests regularly, apparently, who listen to our
that's
show.
That was my first thought was it's got to be warm. Right. I mean, they want fresh pee. Hey, who in the long run, who doesn't want fresh pee? We all want fresh pee? Well, thank you for all those people who seem to be experts on drug tests, which is, you know, because they're my listeners, that makes sense. What other show on this radio station would you immediately get a response? No, that's not how it works for a drug test. This is how a pee drug test works. Take it from the DiGilio listeners.
Helping people.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right.
Thank you very much.
Here we go.
Brian emailed these of Mary Vandeveld and Mary Sandberg.
I've never had a fake one. Oh. Me too, Mary. Ever.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. And by the way, good for them. Good for them. Can we hear that again? I really want to hear that again.
I've never had a fake one. Me too, Mayor. Ever.
That's one of my favorites. That is truly one of my favorites. And I'm so happy for those ladies. I really am. Okay.
Celine and Margaret in Bridgeport sent in this one of Roger Badish.
Oh, I'd probably blow out the zipper.
What? What is happening? I'd probably blow out the zipper. Jeez. What show was that on?
Bubala.
Oh, figures. All right.
Jim heard this one of Lou's producer, Lindsay.
I mean, they'd satisfy you.
Wow. The ladies are very happy this week.
Yes.
What's up? Good for the ladies. Wow. All right.
JD in South Bend emailed this one of Mark Carmen.
We got to jam it in quick here.
Subtlety. All right.
Peter in Decatur and Wild Bill sent in this one of you.
And it was hard, man. I mean, it was hard. Come on. What was I talking about?
Trivia. Something trivia.
Oh, the trivia. Okay, yeah. How did I not know that wasn't going to show up on the...
Yeah.
All right.
Kathy in Antioch and Ken in Hillside heard this one of you.
Oh. I've got it out here.
What was that? What were we doing there?
The dollar bill.
Oh, the dollar bill. We were talking about the secrets of the dollar bill. Which, by the way, I want to say that I've got a lot of feedback about that segment. Like people were like, that was fascinating, and my dad was like, that was the best thing you've done on the radio in a long time. That dollar bill thing was awesome. I'm like, okay, Dad, thanks.
It's good to know.
Yeah. Let's do a 10 next.
Yeah, see what exactly. Kathy in Antioch, I emailed another one of you.
Dan, can you pull that one up and see what it looks like? What? Didn't I dominate last week, too?
Yep.
What is going on here? What was that all about? I was asking you to look something up on
that. Yeah, that was when we were talking about the $1,000 bill.
Oh, the $1,000 bill. Oh, with the watermelon.
It looked like a watermelon.
Okay.
Back.
Yeah.
And another one of you from Peter in Decatur.
I would eat that all day long.
Man.
I heard Mary in the background there.
Yes.
We were talking about one of her mom's recipes or something?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. All right.
Ken from Hillside heard this one of Wendy Snyder.
If you're proud of something, you put it out there.
Yes.
And finally,
yeah.
Kelly from Elgin emailed this one of Steve Bertrand.
Where do you want me to put it?
Oh, brother. All right. Should we move on here?
Yeah.
All right. What do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody spies. Like
hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies. Spies. Like us.
Yes, that's right, everybody. It is time for Nick D. Show Spies. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever I am mentioned in any capacity or the show is, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot all the information down, the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay.
Two clips this week.
Right.
So our spies were Peter in Decatur and Brian. First up, Dave Plyer was talking about scary movies and mentioned the new and old Halloween. And you?
So Halloween was 78. So it's a 40th anniversary. That's why there's a new one that's out there. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Nick off the air about it. He wasn't a big fan of the new one. I thought it was okay. You know,
the new Halloween.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. You know, it wasn't. Dean gave it an A. Nick was not fond of it at all. I thought it was a good connection to the first movie. It's really weird because they've made a ton of Halloween movies.
Yeah, I know. I think 142.
Well, yeah. I don't know if Dave, if you like the new one, might I suggest you watch Halloween H2O. That was the one that came out 20 years ago on the 20th anniversary of Halloween and of the movie Halloween. And it deals with the Laurie Strode character, the Jamie Lee Curtis character, much better. They give her a lot more. There's a lot more for Jamie Lee Curtis to do in that movie. Like, she's very troubled by what happened 20 years earlier. It's a much, much more satisfying ending to, you know, this, the battle between Michael Myers and Jamie and Laurie Strode. Whereas in this new one, she's crazy. She lives in the woods and she has guns. In the H2O, in Halloween H2O, there's more complex stuff going on. She's an alcoholic. She can't stop thinking about what's going on. She's being very protective of her son. It's a much, much better movie. It's a much better movie. So I'm just saying this to Dave Plyer. If you actually found the connection to the new one and the first one to be pretty strong, you should go back and watch Halloween H2O, which is a much better movie with a much more emotionally and scarily satisfying climax. And yeah, the new one sucks. But the remake of Suspiria opens today. That was great, which I thought I would never say. Dan, if it was 6 months ago, would you have predicted that I think that the new Suspiria is great, perhaps one of the best movies of the year?
Nope.
I never would have thought it either, but it's great and weird. But it's not for everybody. Let me just say that now. It's not for everybody. And I predict a lot of walkouts. I predict a lot of walkouts this weekend. That's all I'm saying. All right, we got another one you said, right?
We do, yes. Okay. Mary Vandeveld was talking to the morning crew and shared a story she mentioned on our show earlier in the day.
Did anyone dress up to be at home for trick-or-treat? So when they open the door, you're in costume?
Mary Vandeveld, you do that spicy tart thing, right? Where you sit out there in your spicy tart costume?
No, she makes Steve do it.
Steve is a door answerer. Sometimes he wears his goofy Dracula cape with the fangs and some blood. He'll do that once in a while.
See, that's awesome.
But yeah, today I think I have a funny t-shirt I'm going to wear.
Okay, that'll work. That
what does it say, Mayor?
It says, "I have your back." And there's like skeletons on it, and the one's holding a skeleton backbone. So it's "I have your back." You get
funny.
It?
Funny, hysterical.
Yeah, Walmart special.
Anything else about the shirt, Mary? Does it?
Oh, that's the one that glows in the dark.
Oh, really?
So I was telling Nick DiGilio this morning, I scared myself walking down the stairs because it was pitch black, and there's a mirror at the end of my stairwell, and I went like
that's funny. Pretty funny. And then I told Mary that having a glow-in-the-dark Rich Coase on my chest scared the hell out of me one night. I totally forgot that the Svengoolie t-shirts glow in the dark. Scary stuff. All right. That was fun. All right. We'll do this all again next week. And now it's time to get fly, correct? Shall we fly it?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly Jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah. Fly Jams Friday, everybody. DJ Shagru is ready to go. Viggity Viggity Vic is running around like a lunatic in the newsroom. I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki, and Esmeralda the Heart Melda is melding hearts someplace else. But we're here now to be funky. 312-981-7200 for all things R&B and soul. 312-981-7200. We have Fly Jams Friday coming up, and then a very depressing Blackhawks Express from a terrible game last night. But we always play the Express afterwards. That's coming up in a few minutes. We got a break, and then the news. You're bright. Was this one that I sent you, Dan?
I think so.
Cutie Pie?
I will double check the link, but I clicked on it, and that's what came up.
Oh, okay. Because I you know, I think I sent that one last week. Because yeah.
Oh, I must have had you one from last week.
That's fine, because we didn't play it, so that's fine. That's Cutie Pie. That's why, because I have the three that I chose in front of me, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not on there. But I did choose that one last week, or the week before, because last week was all spooky. Anyway, that's Fly. So it's Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and it's Fly Jams Friday. Everybody needs to get funky. So, all right. All right, let's see. Here's a 301 area code requested some John Legend. Here we go. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Oh, no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change again, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hell. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. Oh. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Everybody get ready to the John Legend version.
So John Legend now, everybody's, you know, he's an EGOT. He's got the EGOT. You know that, right?
I didn't realize he had completed it.
He's got the Emmy. He's got the Grammy. He's got the Oscar. And he's got the Tony. He's got them all. He's an EGOT. So, yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You want to hear some fly jams? We want to play some fly jams. So we got some phone lines open. Get in here and make your request now. 312-981-7200. All right, here's Mark on WGN. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, this song was number one last week in 1969, but you had your spooktacular. So this week we have The Temptations doing I Can't Get Next to You.
But my life is incomplete and I'm so blue, 'cause I can't get next to you.
I wanted to wait for the bass part. I'm sorry, I had to hear that, because that's when it goes down, when you get the bass part, one of the temps who goes, duh, duh, burr, duh, duh, duh. Hey, you know what I wanted? You know what we should do on Monday, Dan? I was just thinking, because there was a movie made about the Temptations, and there have been several movies made about musicians. So to tie in, because Bohemian Rhapsody opens today, and me and the guys are going to review it on Monday morning, let's do music bio.
All right.
Let's do that. I'm trying to remember that. I think the Temptations one, I think there's been two Temptations ones. And then there have been movies that were loosely fictional. You know, like the Five Heartbeats. That's like sort of like Temptation stories and OJ stories. Like all the stories that you had from those bands, those soul brothers from those days, they all kind of were mixed together into the one Robert Townsend movie. Like they took a whole bunch of stories from the OJs, a whole bunch of stories from the other guys and all that stuff, and the stylistics and all that. But yeah, so, I mean, we got a big music bio coming out this week, of which I'm really getting mixed feedback on this movie. Some people are really loving it and some people are hating it. Suspiria, Dan, I have a very bad feeling about this movie. I have a very bad feeling about Bohemian Rhapsody. And some of the things I read in terms of the leeway that they take with the story is that it's not even remotely accurate, and the portrayal of Freddie Mercury is a little bit nasty. This movie couldn't get made without the permission of the remaining, you know, members of Queen. Who got to approve the script. They had to approve everything. And I read a review that said it's like this. It seems to be a bunch of bitter resentment. It seems a very bitter movie. And the portrayal, although Rami Malek is supposed to be amazing. That's every review, even the negative reviews, say that he's great as Freddie Mercury. But I happen to be a huge fan of Queen, like a huge fan of Queen. And I happen to know the story of the band. And I think Freddie Mercury was the greatest frontman that ever lived, like the greatest rock frontman in the history of music. And his story is fascinating and complex. And everything that I've read seems to be that they've deviated from his story a lot. They make him look bad, and they really screw up the timeline of things that happen in order to bookend it with Live Aid, because that's how the movie starts in 1985, the legendary performance, one of the greatest performances in the history of rock, of their performance at Live Aid, starts there and ends there, and everything that happens in between, you know, the starting of the band and all that stuff. And my folks and I are seeing it. My dad and my mom are both big fans of Queen as well, and we're seeing it in IMAX, so at least the music, you know, because apparently they recreate the Live Aid part really well. Like they do, you know, they use the computer graphics to get the huge crowd at Wembley, and they've studied the footage, and I guess they recreate it really, really beautifully. So that, you know, opens and closes the movie. But I just have some serious issues with things I've read about, you know, where they take license with what really happened, and the portrayal of Freddie Mercury is, according to a bunch of reviews, is not good, like really negative. And the guy was, you know, was a hero to many. So,
All right, here's Chuck on WGN. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
Yeah, I'd like to say really quick, I was a dairy farmer out here milking cows for 30 years. Orion's one of our heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And just being on a show that he's done the introduction for, it just doesn't get any better.
Well, he's the best.
I'd like to hear the Barkay's doing. Let's have some fun.
All right, let's hear it. Find it anywhere you know. That's right. You need to get funky with it. Don't we all need to get funky with it? It's Fly Jams Friday. All right, let's hear from you guys. DJ Shagru is here. By the way, I'm looking up at the screen. Dan, you know that they're making a sequel to Gladiator?
I saw the headline on
because
that.
Because we need one 17 years later. It's important that we have a Gladiator sequel to a movie that wasn't very good in the first place. They can't make that movie. Oliver Reed's dead. Oh, doesn't he die in the first one, though?
I did notice that you went with that as opposed to the main character dying at the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. That's right. He does die at the end, doesn't he? Yeah, he goes back to his family and, like, collapses, right?
Right, right.
I did not like that movie. I don't like it. So, anyway, God, I won Best Picture that year, too. Wasn't Traffic up for Best Picture that year? I mean, what the hell are we talking about here? Anyway, but they're making a sequel. I've been waiting for that one. Oh, I've been waiting 17 years. For the sequel to Gladiator, on the edge of my seat. All right. Anyway, let's get funky. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you want to join us, we've got lines open and requests ready to go. DJ Shagru ready to spin some R&B. Let's get funky, everybody. 312-981-7200. We're going to break here. We got some weather, a break, and then we were going to come back with a nightmare Blackhawks Express. That's all I'm saying. Last night's game was a disaster. They looked awful. But we always play the Express the day after the game. So there we go. All right. Perry had a request, Dan. Can we hear Perry's request? Or yeah. Go. That, of course, would be George Clinton and Atomic Dog.
We were talking about sound cues and radio sound cues. That was also the theme song to Steve Dale's Pet World. So,
oh, it was?
I've heard that song many a Saturday night getting ready for work.
another thing like, hey, wait, I should be at work right now. All right. Hey, Bennett the Business of Funk has a request. What is Bennett the Business of Funk's request this morning? To print the thing, and I can feel my heart just thumping and skipping when I'm kissing my. Spanky Wilson with Kissing My Love from the Business of Funk. By the way, I was just watching a little bit here of Dean. You know, Dean does his Weekender thing. He gave Bohemian Rhapsody an A. He gave the Nutcracker thing a B+. And he didn't. He oddly did not review Suspiria.
I took a pass on that one.
I think... I think Dean was like, yeah, I'll leave that one to the idiot on the overnights on WGN. I can't imagine Dean liking that movie. I can't imagine him not just thinking it's the worst. Maybe he just didn't want to waste time with it, you know, because he hated it so much. All right, Steve requested this one.
anyway. Time has come today. Hey!
It's funny that we're now talking about songs that were being used in other things now. So, because, you know, the Atomic Dog, you said, was used at for Steve Dale's show. And that was used in one of my, the time was used in one of my favorite horror movies of all time, a movie called Bad Dreams. It opens with that song. And, yeah, and you know, it's weird because that's that is a classic song. That's the, I mean, it's the Chambers Brothers. It's legendary. It's a classic song. But it's one of those things that happens when you now associate, you can't help but associate a song. You know, like Jungle Boogie, Cool and the Gang, Pulp Fiction, immediately. Like 90% of the songs in Goodfellas, the piano outro for Layla, Goodfellas. I see bodies being dumped out of the garbage can. When they're discovering all the dead bodies, that's what I picture. But yeah, that reminds me of the opening of a movie that about five people have seen. Bad Dreams, like seriously. Counting the director, that's five of us who've seen it. But Andrew Fleming directed that movie, who would go on to do The Craft. And Hamlet 2. He did Hamlet 2 as well. All right, one more before we get out of here, right?
And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, divinities, obligation to our nation.
End on a high note. Thank you, Phil, for that request. That, of course, is the Temptations, and that is as fly can be. All right, we got a break here. The news is coming up next. We'll be back Monday morning with the movie reviews. We're going to do music biopics in honor of Bohemian Rhapsody being released, and my dad will tell a joke. That's all coming up on Monday. News is after this.